Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. It's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Gets a park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and we have a big show coming up. Lots to talk about. The border war is heated up. The war of words is heated up. It's about Belichick. It's about Rex Ryan. No, it isn't. It's me against the Jets. I'm taken personally. It's about me, and it's about the Jets, and that's all there is to it. I will not allow the Patriots to lose this game, just like Rex Ryan says he's not going to allow his team to lose. Baloney. It's about me.
Okay.
I know what he's doing, Paul.
Baloney.
You know what Rex Ryan's trying to do, right? He's trying to take the focus off his team.
Take the pressure off his
take
team.
Baloney. Pressure.
Absolutely.
How does that take the pressure off his team?
Because he's telling them that they are not the problem. The reason why they lost 45-3 was his fault.
Oh.
And he will not allow that to happen again.
Well, then they should be mad at him, the players.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
Why not?
So if they win, is it his? It's because of him?
Who cares? If you win, you take on the next team.
No, I know.
About Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
But who gets the credit if they win? If
who
he gets
cares?
All the blame if they lose?
He's going to get all the blame if they lose.
And he'll get all the credit if they win.
I don't think anybody cares about that.
Oh, I think he does. Obviously, no, he does.
I don't think he does.
He's making a point of it this week.
I don't think he cares a lick.
All right. Well, I understand.
If you think the players have one problem with Rex Ryan,
I'll be the one attacking the Jets. You guys will be defending them all week. I understand how it'll be.
I'll tell you.
What does attack mean? If it's analyze the game and think the Jets don't really have much of a chance to win here,
that's how
I'll be doing that.
That's how I want to attack the Jets. X's and O's wise.
If it's saying LaDainian Tomlinson is as soft as Rex Ryan's wife's feet, I'll be doing that.
So
I don't know what I'm going to be lacking.
I'm going to tell you why the Jets can't win.
What will I be lacking?
With a quarterback who only completes 55% of the passes.
So you're not buying into all this hype. You're not buying into
it. I absolutely am buying into
the
hype.
Of the game or of the
of what Rex Ryan is saying?
I don't think it's hype. I think it's a calculated move by a head coach.
Smart?
Yes. I think it's very smart. He's getting his players to believe you didn't F up to lose 45-3. I did.
That was
your skill can beat these Patriots. Your skill, with my newfound guidance, my improved guidance, can beat these Patriots. Believe in thyself.
But I'm buying into the hype of this team, the Jets, doesn't have what it takes to beat the Patriots. That's the hype right now, and I'm buying into it. I don't think you can win with a quarterback who only completes 55% of his throws in New England.
They have a soft quarterback and a soft running back. That's, I think, the huge difference.
One of the things I don't understand from Rex is that after the 45-3 game, he buried the ball, moving on.
Right.
But then he says he's been watching that game every day since.
Well, he has.
Yeah.
Has the team been watching it?
I don't know, but he hasn't moved on.
I mean, it should be part of his preparation for this game, don't you think?
Well, I mean, you take what you get
learn
out of
from
that.
History, or you're doomed to repeat it.
Yeah, how much more do you need to watch that game over and over?
When Belichick does it, it's detail oriented. When Ryan does it, it's stupid.
But I'm just it's curious. I thought he buried the ball from that game.
That was symbolic, just like it's symbolic when he says it's me versus Belichick. Clearly, you don't.
But it's brilliant when he says something symbolic like. Who said it's me against Belichick?
Who says anything about brilliance?
He said.
I think it was a brilliant coaching move. I think it's phenomenal.
I'm sorry.
I think it's genius this week.
I didn't know
of
him. He said. I thought he said it was a good move. Now
I think
he's calling it brilliant.
Genius.
He's calling it brilliant. He's
genius.
Smartest coach that ever coached.
Did I say
that's
that?
That's not what he said.
We're going to make a new Broadway show.
Did I say that?
The Feat. All about Rex Ryan.
That's probably some of the stuff that we're going to have to avoid.
Don't worry. Listen, listeners, you still got me.
Again,
with you.
How do I think the Jets have no chance. The Patriots can lose this game.
I'm going to quote
if
Andy
the Patriots
Hart.
Lay a stinker, they can lose. The Jets cannot win this game.
If you started an NFL team today, would you hire Rex Ryan as your coach?
Over
is,
Bill
is
Belichick?
Bill Belichick available?
No, I don't know who's available. But
well, I need to know who's available.
He's available. Bill Belichick's not available.
Okay.
Would you hire Rex Ryan?
Would he be
now,
considered?
Is,
yes.
Who else is available?
I don't know.
And I tell him to tone it down.
Would he be
a
candidate?
Would
he be a candidate?
Yes. He's a good football coach.
He absolutely would be a candidate for my team. If
Belichick, head coach, not defensive coordinator.
No, head coach. If Belichick is available, then Rex Ryan's not a candidate.
Okay.
Belichick is
at what point, how much
better.
Leash do you give Rex Ryan? I mean, like.
I would tighten it. I would not be Woody Johnson. To me, Woody Johnson fuels it. From what I saw in Hard Knocks, it's a boys' club that Woody Johnson, Mike Tannenbaum, and Rex Ryan are part of. I would want a strong leader who says, Rex, there's a time and a place for all your little I'm one of the guys jock, but there's also a time and a place for you to be the leader of this football team and say smart things.
And to represent the organization.
Right.
And I don't know.
But
I'm
aside
not,
from that,
I'm
I'll take
sure.
his on-field ability.
Yeah, I'm not sure everything he does is painting the organization in
right.
the most positive light. And that would be
But you know what paints him in a pretty good light? Back-to-back playoff appearances.
Yeah, but
back-to-back
not,
going deep into the postseason.
And that's why he
but
would be a candidate
on paper
me.
Have had the best team in the league this year.
Well, maybe. Who
wait
said?
A minute. You I don't mean, think that.
No, but that's what the prognosticators
no,
thought.
No, they didn't.
Sure, they
no.
did.
No, they didn't.
Sure, they on this radio
they were
show, they
in
did.
The mix.
Both you guys thought
people
they'd be
thought
in,
the
number
best,
one.
The best in the league.
Yeah,
that's incorrect. Well, I thought they would win the AFC East.
I didn't have them in the Super Bowl,
but I didn't pick them to go to the Super Bowl.
I had Packers Ravens,
and I
can still be right.
I had Cowboys.
And you had the Niners. So who's the football expert on the show? Me. Both yeah,
but,
my teams
but
are
I had,
still
I
still
had
playing.
The Ravens.
One of my teams is still playing.
I got both. I could have my Super Bowl right.
But I never said.
And
the Jets
I told
the best.
You James Starks before Ted Thompson told you James Starks.
I thought the Jets have the best talent in the AFC East, not in all of football. There's a big difference. One of four.
And
teams.
What did we say when we were picking the Jets? It'll all depend on
how the quarterback plays.
And
when
he plays
well,
they
win.
When he doesn't, they suck. Because he sucks.
All right.
Like I said, 55% ain't going to get it done.
I don't even care about the numbers. I just watch open receiver. Why are you not throwing it to the open receiver? You
Andy,
suck.
That's what I'm talking about. When you can't
He's
hit an open
He's got wide
receiver
open guys in the end zone, in the red zone,
enough.
Down the middle, and he can't hit them.
Can't win like that.
Now, maybe he's hurt. Maybe it's a shoulder injury. Maybe he'll have this surgery and he'll be better. I don't know. But right now, he's not very good.
I do think he's hurt, and I do think that's an issue, but it's not the reason that he's not accurate. Cause
I've kind of
he's
thought
not
he stunk since USC.
He's not an accurate passer.
He was overrated at USC because he was surrounded by talent, and he got overdrafted. You get what you
And I'll tell you something else. You can't teach accuracy.
You also can't teach leadership.
It's not something that you just true. You can get.
I tried to teach Kevin O'Connell accuracy.
I don't think that's
Don't throw it
that,
at his shins, Kevin. Why are you still throwing it at his shins?
Now, he can learn to read defenses better, and he can develop with experience and all that, and he'll get better. But if he cannot consistently throw the ball where he wants to throw it, you can't learn that, in my opinion.
All right, Web Radio.
Paul knows from experience.
Web Radio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline. So
oh, wow.
If you want to join us. Some interesting things. We talked about Rex Ryan's comments, but we also talked about something when we were taping our TV show today. You guys are kind of poo-pooing it. I thought it was interesting because from a lot of different angles about this Michael Kay thing. Is that
Why
his
were
name?
We poo-pooing it? We did a whole segment on it.
Well, I don't think that you thought it was that big a deal.
No, I don't.
Well, there you go. So,
but I'm not poo-pooing it. I think that's pretty common knowledge.
Well, I guess yesterday, or let's go back in time, 45-3, Jets beat lose to the Patriots here at Gillette.
Jets
and this Michael Kay, who's a radio guy from New York, had Bart Scott in what he called a secluded location.
Or a remote.
A remote.
And not secluded.
He was going to have his way with him. You know, remote means off-site.
Like at a mall or a restaurant.
Doesn't mean he took him to a back alley somewhere to have his way
with
him.
Well, I don't know. With the Jets, it could be anything. But anyway, so he said off the record, Bart Scott said, you know, we know we're the better team.
He said off air.
Off air?
I want to be clear because the thing you read to us said off air.
Okay.
Which doesn't necessarily say off the record.
Good point.
And Michael Kay is, to me, the one who's in the crosshairs here.
Okay. But
to me, he could lose some severe credibility.
And by the way, Freddie, Michael Kay is the play-by-play voice of the Yankees.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
As well?
Yeah.
I thought that was that Sterling guy.
That's radio. Michael Kay's TV.
Oh, TV guy. Anyway, this Michael Kay was talking to Bart Scott off the air. Right. And Bart Scott said, we know we're the better team. You know.
All right, listen. Stop.
What?
He said, we know what we did wrong. We know how to fix it. We know we can beat them the next time. We need to funnel everything to the middle.
Right.
That's what he said.
Yeah, that.
So that was brought up on
Monday.
In a
secluded location.
That was brought up on Monday by Michael Kay to Rex Ryan, and Michael Kay made it seem like Rex Ryan got off the subject very quickly. Like, that is definitely not something Bart Scott should have said. The bigger point is, or maybe as big a point, is should Michael Kay have repeated it if it was off air?
Right.
But like you said, maybe that wasn't off record. Maybe,
yeah, I don't know. But
you know, Bart Scott didn't say, hey, you know, don't repeat this, or hey, this is off the record. I guess I could see Michael Kay saying, okay, I can use that. He just forgot to say it while we were on the air.
Yeah, no. See, you know? I think if you say something to somebody, if you're on the air with someone and then someone says something to you off the air, I think it's pretty much assumed that if I wanted to say it on the air, I would have.
Right.
So I think Michael Kay is in the wrong
okay.
for that.
I do too.
Is there anything to that? I mean, X and O's wise, is there anything that the Patriots should take from that?
I don't know. I still think it's about, sure, they made a lot of plays underneath, but I think in the middle of the field or not, whatever.
But I thought they made a lot of plays in the middle of the field.
They did, and my point would be, you just didn't cover guys anywhere. You need, as I said on TV, man up. To me, it was man on man. And the Patriots, man,
well,
was winning the
Andy,
battles.
Being the guy who played football at the highest level here, what is your interpretation of
major,
you know,
Division III football?
If a defensive coordinator tells you, "Okay, this game we got to really try to funnel things toward the middle," what do you? What is that to you?
Well, it's keeping everything to the middle. It's not. It's having outside leverage, so everything is going inside. I agree with you. I think a lot of the plays that happened in the middle of the field. So I don't necessarily know what Bart Scott's talking about here. Because I didn't think they made a lot of plays on the outside and down the sidelines. I didn't. To me, that would be the difference. I didn't think that was the biggest issue. And
I think he's talking more of a personnel situation.
What about the running game, maybe?
Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about this. But I think that what he's talking
maybe
about.
Maybe the Woodhead runs, the sub runs, funneling those to the inside or something?
I think he's talking about it again. This is just my opinion. I think he's talking about the personnel for the Jets. Who is doing the funneling? It's one thing if you have Eric Smith inside on Deion Branch. That ain't going to work. But if you have Darrell Revis inside, or Antonio Cromartie, or Bart Scott, on the shallow crosses, they're probably going to be able to make the plays. And I think that's what they're taught. Now, I don't know. I have no idea what Bart Scott was talking about. And that's probably where Michael Kay most dropped the ball, is that if he thought this was this important,
right,
why didn't he bring it up?
Right.
Why didn't he press him on it and say, what are you talking about? Explain it to me. Because it's a very vague thing. Funnel everything to the middle. Well
Fred's
okay.
right. First of all, is it run or pass? I mean,
yeah.
Keeping the runs to the inside for a guy like Woodhead, keeping him from
getting
the
know.
Edges.
Yeah.
I just don't think the Patriots' offense, the strength there is predicated on making a lot of plays outside the numbers and down the sidelines. To me, they make all their plays in the middle of the field.
I agree, and that's why I think he's talking all personnel. I think they felt they wasted Darrell Revis the last game. Because what they did is they just kept him outside, and they allowed the Patriots to change formations and do whatever they do. They don't make it easy for you like some other teams do. And I think that, I heard Boomer Esiason talking about this a little bit, I think Saturday night, maybe it was Sunday. There were times where the Patriots go five wide, and Algie Crumpler is the guy out wide. Well, if that's the side that Darrell Revis is on, that's who Darrell Revis takes. Well, you can put David Harris out wide on Algie Crumpler and live to tell about it. You don't need to have your best cover corner, who perhaps is the best cover corner in all of football, on a blocking tight end. You know, you'd be better served having him funnel something to the middle against Aaron Hernandez or Wes Welker inside there. And I think that's what he's talking about. I don't know if he explained it properly at all, because I think you're right when you talk about, are they talking about running game, passing game?
I don't know.
You know what I would do, being the guy that played football at the highest level on this program? I would take Darrelle Revis, put him on my defensive right, Tom Brady's left, assuming that then Tom Brady's first read is always going to be away from Revis. He's never going to make Revis, whatever matchup they have, is never going to be his primary read. And then I would have all my blitzes and my best pass rush schemes coming from that side, hoping that I can get some pressure backside, blindside, beat light, and all these things, and make some plays early on. Saying, you know what, his first read is going to be away from Revis, whatever is on the backside of the formation. That's what I would do.
That's why he played football at the highest level.
You made a good point earlier, Paul.
I need that phrase.
That's probably an important distinction.
Before the show, Paul, you made a good point.
I doubt
last game, Jim Leonard got knocked out on Friday, kind of a blow.
Right. This was just like the Patriots.
Now they've
Bills,
had a little bit of time to adjust with life without the great Jim Leonard. So you
who
know,
knew that he was Ed Reed?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Well,
but it might be a factor.
Yeah, no,
you're
I
predictable
just,
in your disparaging remarks about certain players.
No, but I
need a lefty out of the pen.
I just think that
he's got a high motor.
When you lose a player in that way, it's not like he was banged up all week. You didn't know if he was going to go, and then on Friday you said
he was part of the game plan.
He was a big part of the game plan, and then on Friday broke his leg. So he was out. And in fairness to the Jets, I have to submit that's a tough emotional factor.
Antonio Cromartie, I don't think of him as one of the headiest players.
Oh, God, no.
So now you're adjusting, and the guy that normally does the adjusting isn't there. You're adjusting for him.
They might be better served taking Antonio Cromartie and just putting him on Brandon Tate and just say, just chase him all over the place. Make sure he doesn't make any big plays. Because I don't think he's equipped to handle anybody on quick slants and in the slot.
Well, that's what you said last game, Andy, about Cromartie. You said,
and they had most of their success away from Revis. I mean, making sure they went the other direction.
They almost never went to Revis.
Revis took away Welker for portions,
frankly,
Branch for portions.
Yeah, frankly, they didn't really go at Cromartie a whole lot either in that game. They did beat him a few times, most notably on the big fourth down play with Branch. But I don't think he covers
those routes.
That's
a matchup I like. I mean, I'll go at that all day long.
But he's got to get more. And you talked about this, Andy, on the TV show too. He has to get more physical. And we saw that against the Colts on that big third down play where he's playing off for Garcon, who, to me, is very easy to take out of the game. All you got to do is rough him up. And I think it'll be harder to do that to Deion Branch or Wes Welker, but you got to try.
Well, that's the thing. That seems to be the only recipe that's worked. You know, when the Patriots lose, it seems to be when they rough up the Patriots passers, get them out of their rhythm, and, you know, get to Brady or at least pressure him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
the game plan.
That seems to
having
be
two good enough corners that can get at the line of scrimmage, be physical with the receivers at the line, and then getting some pressure. I don't think the Jets have the pressure anymore. That's the biggest problem. I mean, Jason Taylor is a shell of himself. They just don't have a guy that you say every play, like Clay Matthews or James Harrison, if he's coming, he's a problem.
And if they're going to continue to get the quick stuff out
of the
hands.
Clay Matthews is phenomenal. I need just an aside from watching the game this weekend. I don't know how he got to the player he is today as compared to the player at USC.
Oh, I do.
I'll leave that to everybody else to decide. He's a phenomenal football player.
Clay Matthews?
It's not just the pass rush.
He never stops.
He makes plays outside the number. We like to praise Vince Wilfork for being all over the field. This guy is not just pin my ears back and go to the quarterback. He's all over the field.
Yeah.
He's a very good football player. I'll give him credit for however he got to where he is, but he's good.
He's got amazing pursuit,
yes,
as they say.
Got a high motor.
Yeah. I think if the Patriots continue to do the quick offense that they've been really having a lot of success with the last 6 weeks or so, balls out really quickly, it doesn't matter what you do for pressure. It's just not going to get there.
Well, that's if you're physical, you make him bring it down a count
because
he bangs your receiver around.
If they're able to get it out quickly.
The two go hand in hand. You have to have Charles Woodson and Tremont Williams banging the guy at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
You also have to have Clay Matthews because – yeah, no pass rush can beat a throw if it's a quick slant.
But
if the guy's in his face and you can't throw and you do the pump and pull back, now the pass rush hits you. That's
how it comes
together.
To me, the burden is on the coverage because I know.
Oh, I think the Jets have the coverage.
Because
I think no one can get there fast enough.
And you saw it against the Colts. They weren't blitzing. They sat back and they covered against the Colts. But there were plays that they showed, like three-step drops, and Manning is getting it out quick to Garcon. Calvin Pace is coming on a stunt almost untouched, coming up the middle. Now, if you do what you said, Andy, and maybe Cromartie gets a bump on Garcon, that's a sack.
That's what you have to do.
Quick prediction. Tom Brady will have 14 yards rushing in this game, and they'll be significant.
14 significant yards rushing?
Yes.
What is wrong with you?
I would just say that I'm going to be concerned if Tom Brady has significant yards rushing in this game. I don't think it's going to be a close game, and I don't think that Tom Brady is – I don't think we're going to be looking back and saying, you know what? They won 38-10, but those 14 yards that Brady had rushing, if we are, it's going to be a close game. And
a couple of those runs for first downs, they're significant.
Not if it's 38-10, it's not.
Well,
that's what I think the game is going to be, a blowout.
And he won't be running if it's 38-10.
Yes. I know that you already painted Andy and I as the villains, even though everything we're saying is that the Jets have no chance. You can make us the villains if you want, but we both think the Jets are going to get blown out.
Most brilliant coach in the modern era.
As Emmitt Smith would say, the Jets are going to get blowed out.
Blowed out.
Blowed out.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be a blowout.
You don't think it'll be a blowout?
A little closer than that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that five times a team that blew out another team played again the postseason, and five times they beat him in it, blah, blah, blah.
And they were all double-digit wins.
I don't expect the Jets to play as poorly as they played. They gave up.
I don't either. They
didn't
quit.
Compete.
They quit in that
game. I don't
game.
Think that'll happen.
No.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I agree. It won't look like the 45-3 game. It won't.
It's going to
be like
34-17.
That's a blowout to me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Are the Jets the kind of team?
I was
going to say, it's going to be under 21. There's no way in my mind it's over 21.
But 34-17, that's a blowout.
Do the Jets,
maybe,
you know, strike you as the type of team where if things start to go bad early that they could abandon ship? Or do you think they have the fortitude to work through it? You know, they have some.
The former.
Yeah.
I don't think they're mentally tough.
See, I think they're mentally tough, but not here.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's a difference between if you're playing the Detroit Lions and
you have
to come
back. No,
I'm
talking about last week in Indy. Everything that possibly could have gone wrong went wrong.
Yeah.
And they showed the fortitude and mental toughness.
But
different story in Gillette Stadium.
But would they have shown the fortitude and mental toughness if it was 17? No, if it was 17-0 or if the Colts Colts should have blown them out in the first half.
Wait a minute now. I think part of the fortitude was making sure it didn't get to 17-0.
Okay.
I don't think that would happen here. If they have, you know, two series on each side of the ball that don't go their way, your quit thing might come in.
I think
because I think they say, oh, here we go again, 45-3. This team just
I think their head coach is a bit of a bully and their quarterback is soft. And when you have those two guys that I don't think are elite leaders, you got a problem.
But I think part of the reason the Colts didn't have a bigger lead the other day is because the Jets showed mental toughness. Things weren't going well for them. And they found a way to stay close.
Things are going well for Andy because lunch just got here.
I was very surprised at that game, Paul. I really thought the Colts would win. I'm not shocked.
I thought the Colts would win.
The Jets won.
I'm not shocked, but I thought the Colts would win. I'm with you.
I thought just like it looked like what's going to happen, the Colts would pull it out at the end.
Oh, I mean, I didn't think. No, you know? I didn't think it would be a 17. If you told me it was going to be 17-16, I would have said, Colts lose.
Yeah. But I really thought,
the Colts would score points.
I thought the Colts would do enough to win, and it looked like they did until Cromartie returned that kick back to midfield and set up. Got to give props to Adam Vinatieri, man. That kick that he made would have been good from 60. And
you want to give me your little scenario? You're starting a team today, and you need a kicker to win a Super Bowl? The answer is always the same, Adam Vinatieri. Best clutch kicker ever lived.
He's yet to
put him in the Hall of Fame.
Well, he's yet to have anyone take that away from him. I mean,
No one's even close.
I mean, I know David Akers thinks he is, but
David
he's
Akers
not.
Sucks too. No one's even close.
Yeah. David Akers missed as many postseason field goals last week as Adam Vinatieri has in his career.
I know. You know, and you know, it's not like Vinatieri has been during the regular season that great. I mean, he hasn't even played last year. But
1 year he got hurt, but he never misses it.
But when
just
let me finish, Paul. He's getting very defensive.
Because you say things that make us all look bad. We make us look like
when
we're
the money
petty,
is on
petty
the,
Patriots.
When
fans.
The money's on the line, Vinatieri's the best. You know,
and when the money
finish.
And when the money's not on the line, he's the best. If you let me finish.
No, he misses. He's missed a few that I've seen.
Everyone misses
ones.
A few. Tom
easy
Brady throws incompletions.
But you know, he's had a long career. That's to be expected. But anyway. So we're going to get into Patriots, Jets. Obviously, it's going to be a big week. Are you guys as shocked as I was that Seattle won?
Not overly, but surprised, certainly.
I was surprised they won, but I picked them to cover. And I thought it would be a close game. You guys kind of laughed at me.
Yeah.
I didn't pick them to cover?
No, you did.
Oh, okay.
You laughed at me.
I laughed at you particularly because I thought the Saints...
Well, I laughed at you because you said they didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. They're the worst team in the history of football. What a joke. I'll take the points.
Yeah, well...
Only because of the way the Saints came into the game.
Right.
If the Saints came in the game healthy, I think they would have blown them out.
Paul thought they were beat up. I thought the Saints were playing well, and I thought that they might do some damage in the playoffs this year, as a matter of fact. And so that's why I was really surprised that Seattle beat them. any chance that Seattle goes to Chicago and repeats?
God, yeah.
Really?
I have no faith in the Chicago Bears.
Is that right?
Jay Cutler throws four picks, they lose.
Do you feel confident picking the Bears
any
week?
That can happen in any game.
Against the Seahawks, I do this week.
Yeah, I think they'll win. Yeah. I think
Seahawks played a good football game last week.
They did. Can they do it again is my question.
Yes.
And they still gave up 36 points. I mean, I think that they will more than likely get throttled. But Andy's right. With Jay Cutler as the quarterback and Chicago as being that team, they could do anything. That's a schizo team.
And then, when the Packers upset the Atlanta Falcons, the NFC title game in Seattle, where the 12th man catapults the Seahawks into the Super Bowl.
I'm rooting for it because that'll change this seeding process.
Oh, I would love it. Do you realize if they then won again, the NFC championship would be in Seattle?
No, I didn't realize that, Fred.
You do realize he just said that.
Oh, really?
Okay. Anyway.
I was too busy looking at the food.
How about this, Fred? The Seattle Seahawks need to win the Super Bowl to finish with a winning record. I think that's great.
That's funny. Good, Paul. Good.
See, I think if they win the Super Bowl, it shouldn't change anything. It proves they're good enough.
No, it does. They
proved they were worthy.
They
of beating
played
up
the
your...
best when it counted right. the most. Absolutely. I would not begrudge them one bit. Where's Eric? I know he's in today because I saw a V-neck sweater walk by. Where'd he go?
He'll be by later.
No, seriously, where is he? Oh, we have a press conference now?
Practice. Bill right now and then no Bill.
Practice.
Practice.
The players are done.
They talked an hour ago.
Kevin, you can talk into the mic if you want.
Well, he has nothing to offer except misinformation, so he should not.
You were wrong about Seattle. You were wrong about Seattle. You were wrong about Seattle.
How was I wrong about
That's
Seattle?
That's right. You picked Seattle, didn't you, Kevin?
You just wanted to be upset. I won't because I won't listen.
Hey, I told you it was going to be a close game, and I thought that Seattle would cover. What happened.
We took the points.
Not surprised that the Ravens.
The two smart people on the show did.
Not surprised that the Ravens beat the Chiefs. Not surprised that stories came out afterwards that Charlie Weiss had his play calling stripped at halftime. I know where that came from. But
who? Where?
Came from Charlie.
Oh.
So, that I'm not surprised.
Who do you hate more, Charlie Weiss or Scott Pioli?
Who do I hate? I don't hate anyone.
Oh, that's a lie.
I don't hate. Hate is a strong word.
You hate people. There are people you hate.
No, I don't. No.
Yes, you do.
Hate is a strong word.
And act baloney.
I don't hate them. I don't hate anyone. But wishing ill on? No. I would say, you know, they're both cut from the same cloth. And they're very similar in their ego and the way they treat people who they don't think can help them. And I judge people a lot by how they treat those people that can't do anything for them, you know.
So you think they've rolled away from the tree, so to speak?
Well, I think it's all the Parcells tree is where they learned all this stuff, you know. That's where it all comes from.
So the bad stuff they learned from Parcells, the good stuff they learned from Belichick? Or
no, the bad stuff Belichick also learned from Parcells, you know. But I think that Belichick at some point in his career decided, I'm not going to entertain the press like Parcells does. Parcells doesn't tell you much in press conferences either. He just does it in a much more entertaining way.
And he manipulates the media, if anything.
A lot more,
yeah,
I think. But that's where I think Belichick branched off in how he decided he's going to run his teams in his own conduct. But I think Charlie and Scott are very much like Bill Parcells in that, you know, a big ego, overbearing, and like you said, they use the media. They manipulate the media behind the scenes.
They're not as good at it. Like Charlie, I think Charlie's pretty good at it. I disagree. I think he comes off as an a-hole a lot, and I think Parcells didn't. He got people to laugh, and Parcells ended with a smile. I think Parcells was a master at it. I think Charlie is he screws it up.
Well, Parcells the original, and so, you know, he's the one that.
But you can't be something you're not, and those guys are not Bill Parcells.
Oh, that could be, yeah.
So that's where I think the difference lies.
Yeah, I agree, and the reason it doesn't work is because it's personality. And I agree with Andy. I think Weiss comes across as a jerk.
Yeah.
And I'm not as down on him as you both of you are, but I do recognize that he comes across in very condescending, I think. And Parcells didn't. Most of the time, he had some famous blow-ups that he did come off as a condescending jerk. I think Belichick is a lot like Parcells. I think Belichick manipulates the hell out of the media. He just doesn't do it in the same way. He doesn't do it in the entertaining. He's not Belichick. You know, your whole that must be the this is the phrase of the year for you, Freddie. The suffer fools.
Right.
Belichick has no time for that nonsense.
Right.
I don't care if I entertain them. I'm just going to tell them nothing, and I'm going to make them get to the point where they only deal with what I want to deal with.
Yep.
And that's what he's done. How many times does Belichick get uncomfortable questions asked to him? Few and far between at this point, wouldn't you say?
Right.
That's manipulating the media.
Yeah.
No, that's what he
you're
does.
Right. You're right.
And again, before you attack me, it's not meant to be a negative.
No, I said you're right.
But it's a positive for him.
He's molded the media to the way he wants.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's not easy to do.
He's to be commended for.
Although with some of the guys we have in our media, it's not that hard.
But use a first name when you got them, like me. Hey,
all right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's take a quick break. We got people holding on. We'll be right back.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
But New Orleans at Seattle, the Seahawks are getting 10.5.
Seattle Seahawks are a terrible football team, and they don't deserve to be in the postseason.
Yeah. And they will lose to the New Orleans Saints.
Just to get it on the air, Seahawks are winning the game.
Nah, I think you're wrong, my friends. New Orleans will go to Seattle, take care of business by 14 to 17 points. It's not going
to
be close.
Just to get it on the air, Seahawks are winning the game.
Yeah, I'm with Andy. I will take the Saints to win the game. They will win the game because they're better by a lot.
Just to get it on the air, Seahawks are winning the game.
I think it'll be close.
I think the Saints cover because I think their defense is just going to just be relentless. They like to take chances anyway. They're a blitzing team, and they just go crazy.
on whoever the quarterback is for the Seahawks and they cover.
Just to get it on the air, Seahawks are winning the game. Just to get it on the record.
Really? What makes you say that?
Just got a feeling.
Who cares? Stop talking to me. we don't have time for that.
No, I just wanted to be able
we
to
don't have time. Save it for the AK-47
One of your
show.
Friends on Facebook tell you that?
Daddy has time to produce. We haven't had a new opening
in
6 months.
Right. But a blind squirrel finds a nut in his mouth. And
all right. Well, you were right, Kevin. You know.
No, he wasn't, because he just had a feeling. He had nothing to go on.
Doesn't matter. If a feeling works, it's right.
Best part of that was actually how definitive Eric was the other way. The first time he's ever been definitive.
That's the correct pick. Fred, you have the correct pick.
Eric is never definitive about anything.
He even mocked you, Fred. He was like, good, Fred. Do you hear that?
Eric
but only Kevin
has some problems.
Poor Kevin could make a really outside-the-box pick.
He pulled a Schefter,
of Seattle.
He did it just because it was outside
the
box.
And still come out looking bad.
Right.
What, really? Why do you say that? I don't know. Just have a feeling.
Well, you never gave me a chance to explain myself.
Fred asked you
and
why.
We're not giving you one now, so move on.
Okay, go on.
Fred said, really? Why do
you
say that? Well,
you would have laughed.
And you said, I don't know. Just have
you
a feeling.
You said I have a feeling.
You don't bet against BC quarterbacks.
Oh, boy.
Especially in the playoffs.
Oh, so you think
did you hear that line,
Matty
by the
Ice
way?
Will
did
be you, going all the way?
Did you hear Mayock's line?
Yeah, those career zero playoff wins that Doug Flutie rung up
no,
there
I
must
know,
be
but
tough
did you,
to bet against.
I was making fun. Did you hear Mayock's line during that game?
No.
He made some – I don't know if he actually went to BC or not, but he made some kind of cockamamie line about a real tough Boston College guy. That's how they make him up there or something like that. And I just started chuckling to myself.
But, he did go to BC.
Yeah, well then
I thought you were going to say that you never bet against it. He said that, and I'm like, a BC guy said
never
bet against a BC guy?
I got all these messages.
That's a BU guy's dream.
No, I know.
Plus, BC guys are always betting.
That's my point.
So, but anyway.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline, and on it right now is John in Dallas. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I think Adam Vinatieri is a lock for the Hall of Fame. He'll be the fourth kicker I think inducted in. So, I think the Colts probably should have won that game. They would have won that game if Manning connected on that third and whatever it was, 3rd and 6 to Blair White.
Fred thinks he misses too many regular season kicks.
I think it'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Fred thinks Adam
John,
misses too many
speak
regular
for myself,
season kicks.
Okay, don't listen to Paul. Anyway, go ahead. It was an odd ending to the game, particularly the timeout by Caldwell. And what I thought was interesting, Jim Irsay, who's the owner of the Colts, tweets. He's got a Twitter account. And right after the game, he tweeted out, rule number 5 of being an NFL owner, don't ever make decisions when you're feeling like a wounded animal.
Did they make anything of that in Indy?
I don't know.
To me, that's major story.
So my thought was, wow, he was knee-jerk thinking about firing Jim Caldwell.
Right. To me, that has to be pursued.
The media in Indy didn't even make anything of the Caldwell timeout, believe it or not. It wasn't
Peyton Manning was shaking his
head. It wasn't an element of the post-game conversation.
It's also funny that he called a timeout. His name is Caldwell, and he called a poor timeout.
Poor. Anyway, John,
by the way, has Peyton Manning signed an extension yet?
No.
And all this talk that, the Brady, the this, the that, it was such a big story here. That's another story that's not a story in Indy. Even though technically he's about to hit free agency. Like his season ended. He's I know the whole CBA muddies the water, but it was a story here. John Clayton wanted Tom Brady to sit out a training camp to prove his point. How come Manning didn't sit out a playoff game to prove his point?
Well, let me ask you a question, John. I'm sorry. I know you're still on the line, but if the CBA, March 1st comes around and they don't have a CBA, these guys who are supposed to be free agents like Peyton Manning, are teams allowed to talk to him? And what's the deal?
I don't think so.
No?
But I don't know exactly the rules, and I don't believe so. There'll be no rules to which you could sign a free agent.
But can you get something set up and just not sign him?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't believe so.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead, John. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. And I think the Bears will actually take care of the Seahawks in Chicago this week.
I got to imagine. I mean,
I don't see.
I'm rooting for the Seahawks. Don't get me wrong, but
I am too.
Yeah,
I'd love to see the Seahawks come out of the NFC.
I'm rooting for the Seahawks.
Why are you rooting for Chicago, Paul?
Well, first of all, I can't stand Pete Carroll.
Okay,
that's pretty simple. And I can't stand Matt Hasselbeck, so that's simple. And they have seven. They're 8-9 now. I don't want bad teams to move on.
But like Andy said, if they start winning now, are they a bad team, or
yes.
did they just hit their stride late? And late bloomers.
That means they got lucky.
Well,
how is it luck?
How was it won? You think if they played 10 times they would win again?
But if they what I'm saying is if they beat the Saints and then they beat the Bears and then they beat somebody in the AFC Championship, how is that luck?
We'll see how it happens. It was pretty lucky in 1985 when the Patriots did
it. I don't think it was.
Of course it was.
It wasn't luck, and then when they beat the Bears were I mean, when they met the Bears were obviously a better team, but I don't think it was luck.
You always force 17 turnovers in the postseason, right?
Well, you always, you know, cause, what, 40-something that the Patriots? What did the Patriots have this year? They had a plus 28.
Plus 28.
You don't always do that either, but is it all luck?
No, but teams do it.
I know. But
not in the post, not 17 in three games.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're just playing aggressive defense.
Go ahead, John.
Regardless how we feel about Pete Carroll, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of him either, but I ask myself the question is, you know, which team would I rather have the path to play? And I think I got to go with the Seahawks. I like our chances against them rather than the Bears.
So we did pretty well against the Bears, too.
Yeah, I know, but, I mean, that was, I think that's a different game. I think it's a different game if it's, you know, in Dallas, like in a dome, right?
Sure.
And, you know, I think
Bears are a warm-weather team.
Well, they're not a warm-weather team, but, I mean, I think that they would play a different game second time around. I think they'd play us tougher than the Seahawks would. And, frankly, you know, we've already been up against the Bears, so they have, you know, a little bit of film to kind of go off of. I'd rather play the Seahawks if it came down to it. I don't think it will because I don't think the Seahawks will advance very far. They might beat the Bears, but I don't think they're going to beat Atlanta. But that's, you know, that's the question I ask. So, hey, getting back to the Jets matchup this weekend, you know, I don't expect a blowout, that's for sure. I hope you guys don't either.
Paul does.
I do.
You expect another blowout, huh?
Not
45.
not 45.
Grammy Hart checking in. 45.
Not 45-3.
I'm with you, Paulie, by at least two touchdowns.
Yeah, I think it's going to be
so
a comfortable.
So you got that going for you. He's on a roll.
Like 30. He just has a feeling. 34-17, something along those lines. You know, maybe 37.
But do you think it's 20. Close and then they kind of pull away at the end? Or
no,
you think,
I did think it was going to be over early.
You'll be nodding in the second quarter.
You'll be bored.
Maybe the first.
Really?
Listen, it's a 4:30 game. I'm barely asleep.
That's true.
If the Jets, I think if the Jets can keep it close early, then it's going to be close late.
I agree.
Yeah, if the Pats get up to a 14-point lead before Sanchez to throw, he's done.
And that's what I'm envisioning. I think that the Patriots will come out with a defensive game plan designed to completely stymie the run early, and the Patriots' offense will get a lead and change the way the Jets want to play the game. And then I think it's going to be good night, Irene.
I don't think the Jets match up well with us. I think their team is built to stop the 2010 earlier version of the Pats, not this version. I think Revis and Cromartie are good cornerbacks. I think their secondary is pretty decent, but I don't think it's built to stop these, you know, these kind of short, quicker receivers or these, you know, kind of, you know, non-traditional tight end types other than Gronk. But
it could be. You know, you might have a point there.
They had a pass rush, they'd be much better designed to stop.
And I think that's definitely true of Cromartie. Andy's talked about it a lot the last time. He's not designed to get little guys in the slot.
But all of it would be better with a pass rush. That's their biggest problem.
It would be better.
If
but
Vernon Golson had developed into the guy they drafted, if Jason Taylor was Jason Taylor from 4 years ago, they'd be so much better on defense.
But that last game would have been even better if they just tackled better. You know, not give as much yards up after the catch.
I think any team can give this version of the Pats a hard time if they can create consistent pressure with their front four. If they have to bring five or six, I mean, I think that plays right into our hands.
So I would agree.
You know, if I don't think the front four of the Jets can do it.
Well, the last time the Patriots had a tussle was Green Bay, and Green Bay did a good job of covering. And they
it's the
got
two, pressure.
And they
it's
got
the,
decent
it's the two
pressure.
It's the two cornerbacks. Andy hit on this earlier in the show. You have to work in concert, but to me, Williams and Woodson showed that they could get physical with Welker and Branch that night, and that allowed the pressure to become a factor. I think if Cromartie and Revis can do that, the pressure will become a factor.
Right.
I think they have the ability to get to the quarterback. But I think the ball gets out quick. I think that's how teams have avoided the Jets' pressure, is by getting the ball out quickly, consistently, and it's worked.
See, I don't think they have a Clay Matthews, and I don't think they have a B.J. Raji, two guys that night showed up.
Yeah, I would agree
no, Chris
with that.
Jenkins
and
is
I
out.
Think,
so they don't.
I,
right.
So they don't have the great edge guy right now, and they don't have the guy up the middle collapsing the pocket. So they're good, not you know.
But I think they're good enough if they get the kind of coverage that they need, and I don't think they're going to get it, not from Cromartie.
Well, guys, we're only talking about Cromartie and Revis, right? So I think you know having two good corners is good if you've got two good receivers to cover and shut down. The problem the Jets are going to have is if they put Revis on Welker or Revis on Hernandez or Revis on whoever, you still have another 3, 4, 5 targets, don't you?
Yeah.
So and those targets can't be covered with the Jets linebackers. I don't see these guys fast enough. So that's going to force them to probably require some safety help.
Well, part of the problem is they've been disappointed with Kyle Williams this year. He hasn't been Kyle Wilson. He hasn't been Devin McCourty or even, you know, anywhere near that in a sub role. So that's part. I think yep. Lowry's playing more now, right?
Well, it looks like that to me. And you're right. Because he was supposed to be a kind of, to use the Patriots parlance, the star position, being right. able to. And I actually thought at times early in the year he showed signs of being able to do that. But he's been a disappointment for them. Lowry is kind of what he is. He's more of a jag. I think Brodney Poole's a decent player at safety. I thought he had some plays the other night. You know,
I also think
he made some mistakes the other night.
How's Kyle Wilson? Has he progressed?
All right, just stop.
If you're not going to listen
to
the show, we're not going
to
allow you to participate.
I was busy talking to the producer.
With your ears?
No, with hand signals.
You got one mouth and 2 years.
Hand signals.
Use them more or something.
Come on, Pioli.
Fred, it's more with his belly held
Andy
high
just
than
went
his
through
chest
a whole
thing
high. About Kyle Wilson. Just went just now.
Do we have dessert?
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Let's get to the email, shall we? Steve writes in, okay, fellas, I'm not sure what Rex has been drinking, but when did he morph into William Shatner as Captain Kirk beaming down on the planet NFL to battle everyone one-on-one for the Jets' supremacy? While it makes for great copy to line the birdcage, and I expect no less than a hard-fought win for the Pats come Sunday, insert original star fight music here. I don't know. Star Wars fight music? I don't know. Anyway, let's see. This doesn't have anything to do with...
That, I mean, that was an email, that other thing that you read?
Yeah.
That was it?
That was it.
Oh.
Let's see. Men of PFW, this comes from Ross from Glasgow. When the Jets won, I was a little confused by some of their post-game comments. Edwards said that they were the better team, and I was confused as to who won the last game between us. As the week in the Jets' comments continued, I began doubting our team and our chances. What if they actually did come to Gillette and win? Not only would their boasting be unbearable, and it already is, but they would have a legitimate chance at the Super Bowl. But then it happened. Rex went too far. Not content with questioning Brady's work ethic, he then went into challenge Belichick directly and call into question Brady's on-field behavior. Now I am just quietly waiting for the game. Rex obviously believes that his comments give his team the best chance of being motivated and prepared, perhaps by deflecting attention from his players. What he doesn't seem to realize is that his comments will also ensure that Brady, Belichick, and the Pats now also will be 100% ready. So now I am calm.
Previously, they were coming in at about 80.
Now
usually, you take the divisional round off. It's the AFC Championship game that kind
right.
of
we don't start getting excited until
right.
late.
It's only wild card weekend we take off. We showed you that against the
Bengals. Now I'm calm, at peace, as Yoda might say. I'm waiting for the Pats to put these loudmouths away. Unlike Rex, Brady.
That's not a coincidence, my friend.
Unlike Rex, Brady will make his points on the field where it counts. To summarize, I am not emotionally prepared to lose this game.
Fred, are you?
No.
Wow, you are a little bit. There was a pause there.
Well, not as bad as the first time. I feel more confident.
You were less emotionally prepared to lose the first game than you are now.
I'm a little bit
so
more.
So in other words, it wouldn't bother you as much if you lost this one.
It
would have in December.
See, it's different. It would bother me because now I am absolutely sure we're the better team. Last time, it was more emotion. I'm more calculating this time. I'm more of a Vulcan than I am William Shatner this time.
Can you stop?
What? Peter
you
writes.
You want to talk about football?
Peter writes in. I tell you, it's personal. It's between me and the Jets.
I have no problem with that. Just leave the Star Wars and Star Trek nonsense to the geeks.
Hey,
Such
guys.
Yourself.
Peter from Northern Ireland. I haven't emailed in a while, but I've been listening avidly all season. Just wanted to say great job despite the ratings. So I
actually, the ratings are up marginally for December, so the whole holiday excuse was crap for November from Fred Kirsch.
I have a quick game for you over or under this weekend. Brady touchdown throws 2.5.
Over.
I wasn't paying attention.
You know, Paul, if you're going to be
Am
on
I
the show,
only
you have
one
listen.
Who pays attention to this show? The
over
two old coots come in and
this
out.
Week?
Brady touchdown throws.
I'll say over.
Okay. Welker catches 5.5.
Over.
I'll say over slightly.
Sacks of Brady, 3.
Under.
Over.
And number of times Kevin brags about picking the Seahawks this week.
We're already over whatever
8.
It is. Over.
Over.
It's already been 20.
Thanks a lot, guys. Keep up the good work. Go Pats. P.S. I lost my virginity this weekend and just thought I'd let Eric know that despite getting roughly a 20-year head start on me, I beat him to it.
Was she hot? Because that's where Eric fails. He's not willing to lower his standards to raise his average.
That was a very
I could always eat your salad.
Cormac.
Probably one of the ones along the way he thought he was going to lose his virginity to.
Cormac writes in.
Hey, Cormac.
I was going to say something,
See,
but
now,
I he can't say
you.
It.
He'd be mad at you if he heard
But he's
that.
Not here.
I might have to tell him.
Okay, he'll be mad. I don't care.
Now that the bye week is over, does that mean Eric will be buy more or buy less? I can't decide.
He'll be buy as much as he always was.
Okay, now, Sunday is freaking me out, only because if we should, please, Obi-Wan Kenobi, no, lose to
Are
the Jets.
Are you freaking kidding me? What is with all these Star Wars
I don't
references?
Know. I just won't be able to handle that at all. They are the team I least want to lose to. But, of course, that ain't happening. Right, Fred? Right? Perhaps Paul could break tradition and actually give us a nod now instead of during the game. His nods are pretty close to a guarantee. We got to do it. We got to do it.
Come on, it's so overrated.
What's the Pats record after coming off a bye week? I know it's pretty good. Paul, there's only two times in – you know, many, many, many years of Paul's nods that he's been wrong.
I think that's BS.
No, it's true, and they were both last year.
What do you think? What nods were wrong?
Last year.
Which ones are you counting?
You had a couple last year that
Because I've been wrong way more than twice.
He's been wrong this
but
year.
What are you counting?
I forget which games.
See, I think you and I have different qualifications for the nod. To me, the nod is...
Game over.
The game is never in question again. I've had many nods that... The other team has gone on to take the lead. We may have won the game in the end, but the nod's wrong.
Well, no. But see, my nod is you give the nod, and they end up winning.
That's not the nod.
It shouldn't.
The nod is the competitive portion of the game is over.
Well, okay, then many times you've been wrong.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah. that's why I call the nod the most overrated thing on this show.
And I'm sure that I lost more than twice giving the nod.
But the listeners only care about the outcome, and I think when you've given the nod, the Patriots have only lost twice.
Yeah, I can't imagine that that's accurate.
And you've given the
nod. I give the nod every single game.
Right.
No,
right?
You don't.
Of
no,
course
you don't.
I do.
No, you don't.
I mean, with very, very few exceptions. Like Thanksgiving, I didn't give the nod this year. Because we didn't put the game
away
until
the very end.
No, but that's
not a nod game. But no, you haven't given the nod in a few games. Many games.
Why is it that nonsense that doesn't involve you is nonsense?
Because, like, him, you've only lost twice in less than... Clearly doesn't even pay attention to the nod that he values so very much.
So very much. All of a sudden, he's become...
What was that? Must have more power. Well, I mean, seriously, where did that come from?
I need dessert.
The nod that he
Fred, have values. You read or watched the show... gotta be careful here. Crap, my dad says, I guess.
Yeah.
Somebody
I haven't watched
the
show, but I know his tweets.
Somebody gave me the book, and some of the quotes
It's pretty funny.
Laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
The show, I'm telling you, the show is not bad.
But they can't be as funny as the...
No,
the,
it's not.
Because it's vulgar.
Yeah,
it's
you can't be...
Poop and bleep and
You can't take it as far as you need to take it to make it
but
really funny.
But if the guy is real, he's the funniest guy ever.
Yeah.
I don't know that I believe that
I
all the quotes are real.
I thought the show was going to be... First of all, William Shatner, to me, was a kind of a curious pick for that role. And I thought it was just going to be a bunch of garbage, but there's absolutely nothing on. That's the night of, as you know, Thursday nights. What's on that night that your wife likes to watch? Grey's Anatomy and that kind of nonsense.
Office is on.
So there's nothing on at all.
Office sucks now.
Horrible.
Oh, you guys are crazy. You guys are crazy.
Thanks for stopping by to get your lunch, Jason.
Yeah, nice to see you.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Nice to see you. We'll see you on Thursday next time someone buys us a lunch.
You're unbelievable. You notice he's putting on weight, too?
I do.
He's starting to look like you.
No, that's not really right.
Too much free food.
Yeah, maybe you should stop stealing from our listeners.
By the way, we don't have anybody for Thursday yet.
Because you suck.
It's true, but we're running out of steam.
No, I know it's true. I've seen factually. You go on Pats fans, there's like chat rooms. I tried to buy lunch a couple times, but no one ever gets back to me.
Got it right in.
Got a bleeping monkey behind the glass.
Seattle's going to win that game. Seattle. I just feel it. Seattle.
Why did you have to have a
while
list?
While rubbing his head stupidly.
He's been here since 5 a.m.
You know, letting his hair grow out.
Are we done talking about TV shows? I can finish Cormac's email.
Oh, sure. No. You don't want to talk about TV shows. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm just asking. Are we done? Is there anything else you needed to say, Paul?
I just thought the quotes from that show seemed like they would really appeal to you because the dads are real.
They're hysterical.
Hard-ass, a-hole, no love for his child.
Yeah, I've never seen the show, but if, you know, like on Everybody Loves the Raymond, you know, the father there, Peter Boyle, is like him except cruder,
right.
Much cruder.
And more to say. Like,
right.
The quotes are more just tremendous.
Cormac has
You know the guy started as a Twitter, right?
Yeah, it's a Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was actually scared. It got popular fast. And he got worried because he thought his dad was going to kill him because it was his quotes every day making him look like an a-hole or whatever. But apparently he put it out there and it started just his friends, and then it went to like 10,000, then 100,000, then like a million people were following his dad calling him an a-hole.
It's
basically
good stuff. Few technical questions. I recently got a new smartphone and it works with Android. I got the Pats app but can't get the videos to play. Do you know if I need a particular app to run it? If anyone else out there knows, please chime in. Also, Fred, how do I listen to the podcast live on my phone?
You can't.
Email Chris.
We actually refer to it now as the crap, not the app.
App is really doing well. Finally, I believe...
Yeah, people are downloading it. They just can't use it.
Why do you say that?
Because I can't use mine.
Seriously, why are you
such... because of your BlackBerry model.
Why are you such
a
bad
guy? No, it isn't. This is a good BlackBerry model.
Finally, I believe there was some college game last night. I believe it was important, but because the college system is so screwy and complicated, I can't figure it out. If anyone could give me a breakdown of how the college system works in 30 seconds, I'd be very grateful.
Yeah, no,
can't.
I'm not exactly sure
and
what you
you know what?
For.
I don't know. Did anyone hear about the ratings from the game last night, Auburn and Oregon?
No.
I did not.
I hope they were bad because it'll teach the NCAA a lesson. Don't have a freaking game in the middle of January.
Did he leave the double A's off NCAA lesson?
You know, it's just ridiculous.
Well,
I was talking to
it's
Patrick
ridiculous
Chung.
In that you could have your playoff system, which would keep the teams sharp and give you a champion.
Even short of a playoff system, don't drag it out like they did this year.
But why not have a playoff system? As I said to Paul, they're student athletes, can't spend more time playing football, but they were in Arizona for a
whole
week.
That whole NCAA, don't get me going. It's ridiculous. These guys can't sell a ring on eBay, but there's billions of dollars being passed around because of them, and it's just baloney.
Well. I cut ties a little bit on that because they do get a $200,000 education out of it.
No, they don't. The guys, most of these guys that are recruited and given scholarships are not there for an education.
But
they know
it's
that.
It's given to them.
I know, but they
take
know
advantage
that.
Of
That's
it.
Not why there should be a different path of...
So they don't even have to go to school now. We're just going to hire them as football players that play professionally for our university.
I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle on this one because there is an element that, yeah, you get the education, Andy, but you're not allowed to do exactly what you want with the education. You know, there's a lot of guys that are sort of discouraged from certain majors
and labs and stuff.
Yeah, you take away practice time and stuff.
No
so you can't really
you
do
can.
Exactly
you
what
can,
you want
you
with
You can get what you want.
It's bold.
Myron Roll made it work.
These guys want to play NFL football, period. Yeah. They want to make money.
What do you got to say about that?
You come up with a diamond in the rough. I mean,
you can make it work.
Right.
You
for
can
every
get
Myron
a free
Roll,
education that you could not have gotten
right,
otherwise.
You could, but when, you know the guys we're talking about.
So you just want to make them not go to class and hire them as literally professional athletes for the university?
I want to have a different path that they can have in school that's not necessarily the same path someone who's going to get a four-year diploma gets. Maybe it's more training for some other skill or whatever, but not necessarily
playing
you know,
for Oregon Voke.
And where they can get paid.
Learn carpentry while we're there.
No, but seriously, where they can get paid some money.
Carpentry.
You know, because these guys are coming from a background where they have no money.
Right.
And now they're not allowed to accept any money for as long as they're in school. It's just ridiculous.
Pretend it sucks to be them. They get free clothes, free housing, free food. They're treated like kings for a four-year span.
And if you slip up once, your eligibility's gone.
That's BS.
That's garbage.
They slip up hundreds of times before the eligibility is
gone. Not if you play for Urban Meyer.
Well,
I agree they're taken advantage of. There's no doubt about that.
They are.
But
that's why I said I'm in the middle.
They get
here.
Something out of it, too. Let's not pretend they don't.
Oh, sure. But, you know, if they happen to rack their knee up or whatever.
They still get their
scholarship. They still get their education.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, these guys.
Or their carpentry lesson.
These guys, a lot of these guys that are they're not equipped to go to college. If it wasn't,
but they get all that. They get advisors, study help. They get whatever they want.
If it wasn't
that's
for
their
football,
fault, then.
Is it?
Yes. If they wanted to maximize their 4 year stay, they could.
Some people just don't come out of high school with an education.
Right, but they can. They have everything in place to help them if they choose to pursue it.
I don't think a lot of these guys aren't equipped to go to college mentally.
I think you're giving them the easy way out.
You know, it's ridiculous. It's a bogus system, and it's not just football. It's basketball,
but,
too.
But wait a minute now. I agree with what you said, and this is good solid talk as we head into the playoffs.
The biggest game ever. We're breaking
it piqued my curiosity. I agree with what you said. Not everybody is equipped to go to college, and not everybody has to go to college.
Right.
Okay? So these people who aren't equipped to go to college get an opportunity to do so for free and maybe possibly make something out of it and be able to put themselves in a position where maybe they can have a better life for themselves. Whereas Joe Average, with no athletic ability, who is not equipped to go to college, gets nothing.
Right.
So why is it such a tragedy that this poor kid who's not equipped to go to college gets a free education?
Let's not kid around. They're not there.
Pepsi.
Let's not kid around about it and fool ourselves. They're not there to get an education.
Well, see, I think it's unfair for you to lump them all together.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying.
It's not
that's
all
up to them.
It's not all
I think there's actually a high percentage, whether it's a third or a half, that they're great athletes. They also are pretty good students, pretty good people, want to better themselves.
But the other half, they're not there to get an education. Their life is devoted to football.
Okay.
So, you know, they even with all the extra help, it's so hard for them.
So, Fred, here's my point. Those people, okay, if they didn't have football, if they didn't get a scholarship, what would they be doing?
I think that the school should offer another path within the school where, you know, you're not taking calculus and trigonometry. You're taking other classes, but also maybe there's part of the class is – or part of the credit is a job that you do that you get paid. So you're getting a little money, a little income maybe to send back to your mother.
Okay, so when you're 4 years of eligibility, then what do you do?
You got some type of degree that, you know, it's a different – what
I don't understand is why you get the degree if you're getting paid, but you don't get a degree if you're not getting paid.
It's like a trade. It's almost
like
a trade.
Why can't they get that? No,
because they don't offer that at University of Oregon.
But you're also what do you think these guys are taking?
You're also giving the coaches an out to pressure guys who legitimately want to get real degrees. Now they're going to be pressured. No, you don't take that.
No, those
you're
guys,
taking
Andy,
this easy class,
Andy,
so it doesn't weigh you down.
Those guys will not choose that because they want the real degree.
I didn't
they're
say
not
choose.
The...
I said pressured. You'll be pressured by the coaches.
No, they won't.
To fall in line
no,
with the other
won't.
Idiots.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
No, they won't.
These coaches are scum. All these coaches
that,
are
that
used
happens,
car salesmen.
That happens now. Well, ask Robert Smith.
These guys are scum. And if they have that option, they'll be pressured into it.
I think then you got to keep them that from happening. Because I do think that other half you're talking about, they will want the real scholarship.
They should.
You know, and they should be able to do that. But I think
what do you think these guys are taking in college?
I think
they're all majoring in, like, parks and recreation.
Right. And they come out with nothing to show for it.
That's
didn't Liner do ballroom dancing?
Why?
Yeah, they all do
it's
ridiculous.
It's not their fault, Paul. That's the only choice they're given.
But my question is this.
It's either take the scholarship and do it the way we told you to do it, or
they
don't
can
come
take
to our school.
They can take the scholarship and take any classes they want.
They're told what to take.
Exactly.
Of course
that's
they
my
are.
Point. If you give them carpentry, you're going to have guys that want to get real degrees forced into carpentry.
But
you're here on our scholarship, you'll take what we tell you to
take. Right. Your point is that they'll go and they'll
learn
some trade.
Now you have 85 idiots instead of 45 idiots.
You think because they're getting paid for it, they're going to take it more seriously in some way. I mean, I think that's crazy.
I think there should be a way that they should be compensated. I do.
I think we're arguing two different things. I think your problem with the education part of it is
plus
far-fetched. It's going to be the same problem whether they're getting paid or not.
Isn't there a value in...
Right, but at least we're not kidding ourselves.
But, Fred, there's a value
right,
in promoting
so
themselves.
At least we're being open about it.
They're promoting themselves. They're building NFL careers in college.
Some of them are. Some of them have no shot.
So how is that any different than interns upstairs in marketing who get crap, nothing, and they're building a career? Down the road, they'll make money because they interned with the New England Patriots.
The career they're trying to build toward is playing professional football.
Exactly.
That's not what their education is.
No.
Two different things.
Part of the value of their scholarship at Florida is playing at Florida for Urban Meyer with Tim Tebow in a great team.
And if you're really lucky, you'll get a job in the NFL playing football.
Well, you have a pretty good chance.
But
meanwhile,
we at the University of Florida need you to play
here. So how much,
you know, and we can really care less about what happens to you when you leave.
So how
here.
Much?
Oh, I disagree. I think colleges very much promote that they produce pro players. That's a recruiting tool.
I'm talking about the guys that don't go on to play. What happens to them?
And you're also lumping.
I don't know. What did they do while they were
right.
there?
We don't know.
Now
they're
you're
gone.
Lumping everybody into the same boat. There's plenty of coaches that care about their kids. But anyway, how much would be enough to pay for the guys that don't make football?
I don't know. Enough where they could pay a rent or pay for groceries.
So what happens when the 4 years is up,
you know,
is my question.
Pay a car payment. You know?
So what happens when the 4 years are up?
They have
and
some...
the guy tries to go to the NFL and he's not good enough in your scenario. What does he do then?
No.
So he obviously spent the last four years thinking he was going to
the
NFL.
I know, but is it any different than now?
No, except for...
But at least while he was in school, we're not kidding anyone. We're not doing this charade.
Congratulations. No one's No one's perpetrating a fraud.
But is it a charade?
Exactly. The kid is every bit ill-equipped to handle real life now, under your scenario, as he is today.
Well, maybe he learned some skill while he was in college.
Like what?
I don't know. But you're saying there's no hope for these kids?
No, you're saying that. I'm saying if a guy wants hope, he has an opportunity to get it with a free education. That's all I'm saying.
Free scholarship is a huge opportunity.
Yeah. And
huge.
I'm actually for stipends. I think they should be given something. Now, I don't know how much that would be. I don't know the economics of the whole thing. I think that you should get paid. As stupid as this sounds, and I know you're going to make fun of me, as a Division I athlete at BU, non-scholarship, I couldn't work during baseball season. I had a stupid job at a little store in Everett, and I couldn't work during baseball season.
Because you were too busy.
No. Because it was illegal. That's ridiculous to me. I couldn't make money.
That's ridiculous.
So I understand the whole stipend thing. I don't think that you're foolish.
But don't you think that's ridiculous?
But it doesn't. Yes. I think a lot of the rules are ridiculous. We talked about the Ohio State
kids. But
you know
why. It's a slippery slope.
Right. If you start paying.
All of a sudden, all these guys are making 10 grand a week working at a car dealership they never show up at.
And all of a sudden, the guy that's turning the lights on for 50 grand a year.
Right.
It's, you know.
You don't see a problem with that? Now we're just flat out.
Well, I think that's a problem, but to me, it's less of a problem than what they're doing now. Than the fraud that they're perpetrating.
I don't see how you can think that. Because this is the kinds of things that happened in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, where these kids were given jobs with, you know, the local good old boy at the bank,
right.
And the guy never showed up and he was making 100 grand. That's what happens. That's what they're trying to stop. And I don't know how you can think it's worse now. It's not anywhere near fixed, but I don't know how you can say it's worse
now. I think the NCAA is fraudulent. I really do.
And I don't disagree with you on that. I just don't think that your idea is for fixing it. So now we can look at we can hold our heads up and say, well, at least we are what we say we are now. We're paying them, and that's what it is. It's
and
business.
We paid him 5 grand a year before we dumped him on his ear on the sidewalk after the
guys
year.
Know. I mean, don't let's not pretend just like this whole nonsense with the original email. You know, can someone explain the system to me? And they tell me we can't have a playoff system because the bowl system would go away, and it's taking the kids out of class. Let's not pretend it's about anything but what their best interests are.
Right.
They think this is the best thing for them, and all these guys that make their livelihoods off of these bowls think for some reason that they would go away. I don't understand why the Orange Bowl and the Sugar Bowl wouldn't be great national semifinals.
Right.
No one's ever explained that to me.
It makes sense to me. Just
but. Yeah. That's what they think. This is not about the kids. This is not about the student athletes.
I agree with you.
I love that term, by the way, when they talk about the student athletes.
It's not about them.
It's not about that, but that's what they pretend
it should be. It should be.
So when you call them frauds, I agree with you. They are frauds.
Callum from now what are we talking about? Patriots, Jets?
No, well, we haven't talked about it yet.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the East Ticket Hotline.
I wrote a paper in college and got ripped to shreds, by the way.
For?
An EN-201 class.
What was your position?
Stipends for college athletes.
But that's fine and dandy for Florida and Auburn. But what about all the other schools?
About me.
No, but I'm saying, like, so do you...
Where's mine?
Does your stipend different depending on the level of football you're playing?
Well, I think you'd have
because
to
not all
out.
These schools can compete, you know, paying $10,000 per... You know what I mean? There's a lot of different economic levels in college football. From top to bottom.
Like,
they're not all playing on the same
like
team.
Texas can afford to pay every guy in their team $5,000, but can Boise State?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Now you're changing the entire format. You're eliminating schools. You're making all these schools maybe 1AA now. They can't compete, and the 1A schools will be only 50 of the top schools in the country.
I don't know what the answer
would be. Let me put it this way. If there was a
probably why I got ripped
if there was a semi-pro or a minor league football team that you could go on when you're 18 after you graduate high school, pay you, and the NFL actually recruited from these kids, the college programs, the skill level would go down in a day.
Right.
Because the kids would opt to do that.
Right. Because they're short-sighted.
Well, that whatever.
So wait a minute.
Right.
So
I mean, that's short-sighted.
That,
yeah.
But you know,
so why is that
like
incentive?
Paul said, there's not everyone should be going to college.
Right.
Not everyone is equipped to go to college. And sometimes you know yourself, I don't have a shot going to college and graduating.
But worst case scenario, why can't you just look at it as
a
4-year opportunity?
But isn't it better wouldn't it be better if for that kid who's not equipped to go to college, that if he gets the opportunity to do so, to try?
Yeah, but most of these kids, to try what? To try and fail?
But you think it's better if you go to a minor league football team and get paid peanuts and fail there?
Well, what? Maybe it's not peanuts. Maybe, you know, you're making decent coin.
What's
I don't know.
But it's still decent coin. See, even if it's a normal job, you're making $50K a year.
Yeah.
You're doing enough to support your family.
Right.
For 2 years before the NFL realizes this guy's not going to be
an
NFL player.
Not everyone comes out of high school and goes to college.
No, I know that. But these guys have an opportunity. Even if it leads to nothing, it's a 4-year opportunity where they're treated like kings. They have every resource available to them to try to better their lives. They can network. I'm not even saying guys academically. I think there's plenty of guys that could go to these schools. And if you're a con man, personality-wise, if you're just a talker, I think you can make connections where you could be making hundreds of thousands of dollars for Lord knows what company whose alumni is tied to your program.
Well,
I think it's a tremendous opportunity, and schools that treat it that way, I think they help the kids out.
It's like, and I know that this guy is not the best example because he's such an anachronism now, but Joe Paterno, I read a story about him like 2 weeks ago, and the long time is, you know, everything at Penn State is like a million years old. All the guys around him,
right.
You know, he has a son that's been coaching with him for like 19 years. I mean, that's how long. There's an SID that's been there, and he was talking about the senior class, and he asked Paterno, he goes, "You think this would be one of our best senior classes ever?" And Paterno said, "I don't know. I'll let you know in 20 years." And, you know, the thing is, we'll see how many doctors and lawyers we get out of this class and fine citizens. And then I'll let you know what I think of this class. Whereas, obviously, the SID was talking about the senior class has the most wins in school history.
Right.
He didn't care about that.
That's
so they're not all like that.
Yeah.
And I know that Paterno's not the best example because he comes from a different time. And there's a lot of guys like Urban Meyer now who think, oh, we got to, you know, got to give this guy a second chance because that'll make me win more games. I know his wife is a counselor, and that's what they think of, you know, they believe in second chances.
Harry in Maryland says, Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, is obviously upset at the overtime rule change.
Yes.
My opinion is that it overcomplicates things. What's your take? Did you read Peter King's article about possibly starting OT with an onside kick? YouTube comment of the day in reference to Marshawn Lynch run, he went through New Orleans like Katrina.
Oh.
Who said that?
A YouTube comment.
Oh.
That's, right. Yeah. What do you think? Does it overcomplicate?
I thought someone really, you know.
I don't think that's bad. I don't think the new overtime rule is complicated. It's pretty simple, you know.
For the most part.
Do you think it's simple to understand,
yes, yeah, but I think it complicates the matter.
I was going to say, do you think it complicates coaching decisions?
Gives you a little more to think about, I guess.
Yeah, I think that you could get a situation, for example, if you have the opening possession and you drive down the field, a nice drive, say you have 4th and 1 from the 12. Are you more apt to go for that? Saying, if I can get this and get a touchdown, I win.
Right.
But if I don't, now the other team can go 60 yards, kick a field goal, and beat me.
Right.
So that complicates it for the coach.
Yeah.
But I really think
it complicates it for players. I've heard a lot of people asking players about it. To me, as a player, you're just playing. Like, the coach that has to maybe analyze a little bit of information.
Yeah, I mean, I read one thing that talked about you have to be cognizant of turnovers now.
Yeah.
You know, because a turnover represents a possession. So if you intercept a pass in overtime and you fumble, that's a possession. The other team gets the ball back. They can kick a field goal. Well, why would I ever want to intercept a pass and fumble it?
Right. But, I mean, do you really
think
Ed Reed's going
to
see the ball and not return it? Ed Reed's just going to fall down instead of...
Did you see the play?
No, he's thinking, I can score a touchdown and end the game right here.
And that's what happened to the Ravens. Did you see that play the Ravens had, that Nakamura guy, the safety?
No.
Picked off a pass, and immediately Ed Reed was behind him by about 5 yards. You could hear him on TV clapping. He wanted the ball, and he was thinking of that, and the guy had the ball in one hand, and the guy hit him from behind. That's how we lost it. He fumbled.
Right.
One of Castle's interceptions turned out to be a first down.
But to me, Ed Reed is just a playmaker. You're not changing that because of the rule. That's what he's going to do.
Richard Minneapolis says, two things.
Hey, Dick.
Rex Ryan calling out Bill. I can't believe attention this story got. It's blatantly obvious to me that if Rex is protecting his quarterback, if Rex didn't say anything, then the story this week would have been Brady versus Sanchez and whether or not Sanchez can overcome his last trip to New England. How hard is it to see that Rex doesn't want his young quarterback to have that pressure, so Rex took the spotlight off Sanchez and pointed it at himself? And his stupid plan worked. The media took the bait, and no one is talking about Sanchez or any of the rest of the Jets players. Come on, Patriots Nation needs to see through this crap and call out Rex.
That is what he did.
And it's genius.
On a lighter note, how scary is it that Fred and Kevin are right? Fred gave the nod to the Seahawks in week one. Props to Kevin also for calling that upset. Lastly, I'm worried about the Jets. If the fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me motto is correct, and has been for the last two meetings between the Jets and Pats, I'm worried about this one because it's Bill's turn to be fooled.
You did have a Seahawks comment when you were cutting ties with the Niners. You said, I should have gone with the Seahawks.
Right.
Right.
So now you're right.
So ridiculous.
Let's see.
Even though I've lost 9 out of their 12 games.
Christian says, first off, may the force be with the Pats during the weekend.
What the hell is going on with all these references? I don't like
force be with you too, Christian. Fully expecting the Pats to crush the Jets and rule the NFL galaxy as head coach and QB. There we go.
Yeah.
What if, like, in the middle of the game, like, the Death Star came over the stadium and
no one knows what you're talking about. Except for your Legion of Geekdom.
Yeah, I've never seen one of those.
It's a very large legion. let's see. What do we say? Finally, it's game time, says Warren in UK. So it's the Jets, Tuesday. Just as most of us wanted it. I'm a little nervous going into this game, not because I don't believe we can win, but just if we have to lose to someone, I'd hate it to be the Jets. I think that's one of the problems. I think, okay, if you lose to the Saints or if you lose to the Packers or if you lose to, you know, even the Chiefs or something, it's not as bad. But when you lose to the Jets, oh, it's like losing to your brother. Well, you know, it's like losing to your next-door neighbor.
Even though I don't think there's
familiar,
a chance.
Too familiar.
That is the first thing I thought of after the Jets game was over the other night. I don't think there's a chance. Andy put it right. The Patriots can lose this game. The Jets can't win it. The Patriots go out and they play a sloppy game. You can lose to anyone when you turn the ball over. But I did think of that. I'm like, wow. You know, we all wanted the Jets because we thought it was the easiest team to play.
Right.
But what if we lose?
But if you lose, man.
It's going to hurt a lot more than just the average loss.
Plus, the all-time series is in the balance. Everybody keeps saying it's round three. It's actually round 104. Right now, 51-1.
You know, all off season and the beginning of next season, you know, it's just, you know, they have the upper hand. There's just no denying it if they win.
And their hand can only get better if they go on to win the Super Bowl. Then,
you know,
really.
Then the hand becomes a foot, and now you're it's terrible.
See, you see what he did there?
And you got foot and mouth disease.
Warren also says, how is Spikes doing in training?
If
any of you have seen him or got any info, because I know Coach Belichick said he has a way to go from last week.
Yeah, that's what Bill said.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. He could have, Brandon Spikes could have come in 10 pounds lighter, 50 pounds of more muscle.
Right.
And he was getting that comment.
Probably not a good way.
Yeah. He's got to earn. He's got a
good
that
point,
50
Paul.
Pounds added of muscle, probably not what we're looking for.
How many picks does Sanchez have in Foxborough? I hope we can help him along to double figures.
7.
Yes,
you
he
think
does.
He's going to double his interception total this week?
Didn't he say how many
he
picks
has
does
7
he have?
So
he has
far.
7.
Yeah. Did you see Caldwell's comments for trying to justify the timeout he called? I did.
Made no sense.
Yeah.
Made absolutely no sense. But, you know, I think we all kind of thought he was along for the ride. He confirmed us.
And with his owner tweeting about it, it's just another team you can check off. It's not really the competition because they're not worthy of being the competition. I might add the Broncos to that mix, Fred. Have you been following this coaching search where they're putting up videos?
Yep.
Today, John Elway tweeted, we have our questions, but what would you ask the guys we're interviewing to be head coach? What?
Fred and I were talking about it yesterday.
You serious about this? Eliminate the Broncos from contention.
It's truly the first of its kind, that kind of access. And it's funny because Fred and I were joking, like, people saying, oh, why aren't we doing that? And I think we all know why we're not doing that.
Well, they had one of the guys.
Trying to win a Super Bowl.
Who's the guy? Title.
Who's the guy that they're interviewing now?
Perry Fuel.
Perry Fuel. They had him in the car on the way to the airport.
Broncos.com interviewed him from the airport to the
Now, the
facility.
Guy must have to agree, right?
Oh, of course. Like, and he's talking into the camera. And the things he's saying, he's just sucking up so much of the Broncos. Oh, I've always admired the Broncos. The Broncos way. And the way they do things and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, you're talking to some, like, 20-year-old cameraman. You know?
Celtic way.
It was just
Celtic
not.
Pride.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
They sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Add them to the list of teams who are not competition for the Patriots.
I agree. Too many levels of, you know, authority going on there.
Elway clearly has not brought good things to that.
To me, it's all about the effective levels of authority. And I'm not sure that any of those many levels are effective.
Let's see.
So it's
what
still
would
just,
you
it's
ask?
Be Pittsburgh, Baltimore. That's about it. That's a competition for the Patriots for the rest of the Brady Belichick window.
Let's see.
Baltimore. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and that's it?
Yeah. Who else? Can you name anybody?
To me, it's hard to eliminate Indy as a...
Oh, I've eliminated.
As a threat.
Irsay and Caldwell, the downfall. Manning can't overcome all. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, even Chiefs, at his best, he can barely overcome.
You know, the Chiefs could take another step.
What about the Chargers? On. You think the Chargers
Todd
are
Todd Haley, as long as he's there, that team is not competition. Yeah.
So that's, I mean, but Belichick has a significant edge over everybody as a coach.
No, I don't just mean the comparison of coach. I think Todd Haley is a detriment to his team.
Well, I think, as you know, I think Kansas City is in for a lapse next year.
I would
anyway.
Hire Josh McDaniels and fire Todd Haley and
I think
then
they
bring
would
in
be
a new
playing,
head coach.
They would be
McDaniels
playing.
OC, get rid of Haley, replace him with another overseer of some sort. Nah.
The Chiefs will be playing one of the three other NFC divisions next year that actually has a pulse.
Wow.
So I think that they will
have
a tougher
time winning
games.
Yeah, but they might actually have, you know, a second receiver next year.
Well, they could be better next year than they were this year but have a worse record.
Right. Or they could be better and have a better record.
It does seem at this...
Or they could be the same.
At this point in time...
You can never be the same, Bill tells me.
At this point in time, there may be more stable organizations in the NFC than the AFC.
There may be more stable organizations in Foxborough than there are in the rest of football.
What about San Diego? Do you completely dismiss them as a...
I don't consider Alex Smith, Norv Turner, and to some degree Phillip Rivers stable.
A.J. Smith, I mean.
A.J. Smith. Who did I say?
The quarterback of the 49ers.
Well, you know it's bad when Fred's correcting
you. I knew what you meant, but I was just...
How do you know his name's not Alex?
They've
what
been
do the A
there.
And the J stand for?
Ask Joel.
Anthony... That's probably another one of those things that we're going to have to stop.
I think we can get away with it.
Why? What is an ass, Joel?
I don't know.
I don't even know what a Joel is. I know what an ass is.
Scott from Arlington, who's formerly from New Hampshire, says, "Over on Rex,
Scott!
I honestly believe this guy carries toilet paper in his pocket, so every time he opens his mouth, he has something to wipe with. It's apparent Rex Ryan has one objective this week, to garner as much media attention as possible. But why? Do you think it's to take focus away from his team's flaws, Skankchez or Feetgate? Or is he just being a media whore? He tries to drum up all this controversy because the bottom line doesn't sell as many newspapers, which is he's just not as good a coach as Bill, and the Jets are just not as good as the Patriots. I compare Rex to that last guy at the bar who's pissed that you got the girl, Super Bowl ring, he's been after all night. He's jealous because you have her, or three, and insists on fighting you and your quarterback, I mean his friends. Whatever you do to defuse his stupidity, he keeps coming. You finally whoop his ass to prove your point, 45-3, so you can finally take this girl home and focus on more than her feet. But Rex, much like drunk logic, refuses to be humbled and keeps coming back for more. I know he's into feet, but is he a glutton for punishment too? Much like his women, he focuses on the wrong aspect of football. You're right, Rex. Bill is a Hall of Fame coach. He's the best coach in the history of football. You were outcoached, and your players were outplayed in Week 13. There's a reason for it. It's not a fluke, and it won't be different this week. You can pick as many fights as you want, but you'll never win, and you'll never get the girl. Good, Scott. Good email.
Just to recap, the girl's the ring.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I do.
I think you're making it far too complicated. Rex Ryan said, "I am not as good a coach as Bill Belichick." So you don't need any of these analogies.
He's still trying to pick the fight.
He's telling you that it was my fault. Team players, I mean, just let me ask you this, Fred.
By the way, my wish didn't come true. The championship got the largest cable rating ever, 16.1.
If Tom Brady was the coach, the quarterback of the Jets, and Mark Sanchez was the quarterback of the Patriots, would you think differently about going into this game?
No.
Really?
You would take Mark Sanchez? You would get your ass kicked.
Wait.
If Tom Brady quarterbacked the Jets
and
Mark Sanchez quarterbacked the Patriots, how would you think of this game? Would you think differently?
Absolutely.
I would.
Absolutely.
So, like, I think
we probably wouldn't be getting in this game. But
I think that as well. But my point is, of all the things that he said, now, you might say that Rex Ryan doesn't really believe that he's not as good a coach as Belichick. He's just saying that.
Right.
You might be right about that. But everything he said, you know, about his players, my team, it wasn't my players. It was me.
Right.
Player for player, they feel like they can match up with the Patriots. But
I think he believes that.
I think he believes they're better.
Oh, I think he even said, you know, the teams and the coaches, they're on even keel, I think.
No,
he said.
I know he said that.
I think he believes
it. Believe it.
Oh, I absolutely
question.
Think he believes it. But I think the
sure.
the number one, I mean, listen, you can't dismiss it because it's such an enormous gap.
Well, Well, but he
the quarterback difference in this game
right.
is so
enormous.
I was
just going to say, he's dismissing that quarterback.
But he's talking about the whole team.
I know, but that...
You like to talk about the whole team.
I think there's a chance he doesn't think his team
but
is
because
as good
of
as
Brady.
Oh, I think he does.
Brady, I think right now, and the quarterback is a big part of it, and I think that's part of this cover-up. I think this whole me is a cover-up, and
for
I'm not
Sanchez.
Sure it's just for the performance.
But
I think it might be for, we're not as good.
I mean, even I will say, on a truth detector, I'd have to say, I think the Jets' defense is better than the Patriots' defense. Well, but I think Brady makes
that's
up for
big
that.
Of you. The fourth-ranked defense in football versus the 30th.
But because of Brady, that advantage goes away.
Right.
And that's saying, the thing. It's our quarterback is so much better than your quarterback.
I think the deflecting might run deeper than
that's true.
We even talked about.
That's why I think the Patriots will win.
He doesn't think they're that good. I don't think I'm not sure he thinks they're a great football team right now.
He doesn't think his own team is.
Yeah. I don't think they've been a great football team for 6 weeks now. So he might see that, and this is part of the whole deflection. You are just as good as them, and he's kind of propping the troops up a little.
Let's see. Larry the Drunk says, I enjoyed PFW TV last week, especially the portion when you read the emails because Paul looked like flat-out drunk. Fred, you shuffle the paper, and then the camera turns to Paul with this stupid grin on his face. Then you say, Tim writes in. Paul then giggles, turns to Andy, and says, Timmy, as
no,
in from South Park.
Timmy.
Clearly, he was hitting them Miller Lights. Now on the Jets, I'm confident. If you believe you're better than them, you should not question your chances. That's the way I work. In fact,
who's questioning their chances?
Just let him finish his email.
He's very argumentative today.
I think we should
I just don't think anybody has actually heard what Rex Ryan said.
I think we should just be given the win and instead just drive Andy even crazier on his peeve of the day. 4:30 Sunday at Gillette, we should hold a giant Star Wars convention for all these nerdy Pats fans. I turned 20 yesterday, so clearly it's all downhill from here. Soon I'll be complaining about the quality of lawn feed and buying something called the Nut Wizard. So,
yeah, I got a text from my niece last week after the show saying, did you really just say Timmy?
So, Eric's here.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, Eric.
What's up?
A charcoal crew neck.
Correct.
Yeah. With a T-shirt under
cotton? No, the waffle weave is
waffle weave, but no collar. You don't wear a collar with
it. I call it a thermal. You call it a waffle.
You don't like a collar with the crew neck.
I'm gonna have to open another
too binding.
Yeah, it's too binding.
Too binding.
You need the V for the
So what do you got? You're fresh from the field.
Yeah, we got some mostly good news to report today.
Oh, good. I like
good
news.
Is there a nip in the air? Not too bad. No, it's not bad at all.
We're gonna get. By the way, anyone who's not from this area, we're gonna get socked tonight with snow
and tomorrow.
Yeah,
tonight and tomorrow.
The hills of North Providence
will be impassable.
Right. Yeah.
20 inches? Did I hear that, the latest? The
heavy stuff's not going to come down.
Depends on where you live.
Shut up.
No, but I'm hearing
I'll be here at 3 a.m. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, you always are. You have a cot in the back room.
12 to 18, I heard this morning.
Foot to foot and a hay?
Yeah.
Foot and a hay.
Foot and a hay. I'll be late tomorrow, just so you know.
Fred, do I have to come in tomorrow?
I'm going to have to clean
out. How will I know?
I'm going to have to clean out that driveway. All I can tell you, by the way, is for all your little sarcasm this morning, I got here 9:15. It was 8:46 when I walked
Holy
in.
Holy crap! Strike the band.
And you guys are telling me I'm late.
Strike up the band.
Oh. You don't just
you
hit
strike
them?
The band.
Right.
You just punch
it. Okay.
That's what happened in the Cal Stanford game back in
right.
82. They struck the band.
All right, so we're waiting here with bated breath.
Beth? Who's Beth? And why is she baited?
Why is she's baited?
My wife.
Is she hot?
Well, she smells like. Oh, anyway.
Oh. Did he just talk about your wife?
What does she smell like, Freddie?
Seriously.
I think you might want to take that back, Fred.
I didn't say it.
You did say it.
You did, actually. We can have it played back
yeah.
for you.
Chum.
I'll get it for you.
Chum.
Oh, all right,
talking
stop.
About a man's wife.
Seriously.
Oh,
just dangling her out there as bait.
Who are you talking about?
Who are you talking about?
Now he's backpedaling.
Baited Beth.
Baited Beth.
Anyone named that.
Any Beth, not your Beth.
Beep. Beep, beep,
beep.
Beep. The role of Trot Nixon today will be played by Fred Kirsch.
Okay. All right. So several returns.
Yeah.
Hernandez was back.
How'd he look?
He was in full pads like the rest of the team.
How was his gait?
Yeah, his limp meter.
They didn't really do any of that stuff because by the time we got in to watch practice, they had split up from that running across the field thing and they were in their little positional stretching
in
thing.
Or outside?
Outside, lower practice fields. I'm going to guess they're not going to be there tomorrow.
I don't know. Algie Crumpler said they're not. They're going to be practicing outside. That
the bubble here is
just for naming rights.
I don't think so. Anyway, Eric Moore was back out there. He missed a little time last week. Vollmer, who missed a practice, was back out there. Our guys Woodhead and Copen, who had the red shirts.
Sans red?
Sans red. They were back in the blanc this week. The only bad news, really, Jermaine Cunningham remains out. He missed some time last week.
He looked cold today in the locker room.
You know, and the on-again, off-again back issue with Myron Pryor seems to be
is back
on again.
I thought he had an eye issue.
He might have had that, too, but it's his back that's been given him the trouble prior to this. Pardon the expression. But so Pryor and Cunningham, the only two not out there. Everybody else in full pads. I would say, Fred, the tenor, the tone, very serious.
Okay.
From coaches and not a lot of joking around from the players.
Right.
Very, very serious business-like attitude today out on the field.
Who was the first guy you said was back before Aaron Hernandez?
I think Hernandez was the first one, and then I said Eric Moore, and then Sebastian Vollmer, who missed one practice.
I thought you
last
said somebody
week.
Before Hernandez that I missed.
I just said Copen and Woodhead had their
whites.
Yes, white shirts back.
We can play it back for you. We actually are right now.
Right.
Again, I thought you said somebody before Hernandez. I heard everything after Hernandez.
There was nothing before Hernandez.
Okay,
so
I didn't miss anything.
So that's pretty much it, Fred.
Okay, good report.
Excellent update from the injury standpoint.
Thank you, Eric.
Seemed to be getting healthier.
Except for the D-line.
Hey, here's something
Where
I was
Kyle
thinking
Love
about.
Needs to step up.
I was thinking about this the other day. The Patriots' last two drafts were pretty good. You know, it looks like they might be pretty good. Now, they missed the playoffs in 08, right?
Yep.
In 09, obviously, they got knocked out in the first round, and they had some pretty good drafts. Does you think that early start help them at all, or is it unrelated? You know, being able to, the season's over and focus on the draft. Whereas in 07, they had a bad draft.
You mean the personnel department scouting the draft?
Well, even Bill Belichick getting.
You're talking about Belichick.
More Belichick, because the scouting, they do what they do no matter what.
They're doing their job now.
For the most part. Nick Caserio spends a lot of time out on the practice field.
To me, it's Belichick.
No, it is definitely Belichick,
but
I think Caserio is out there, and I actually think he's a valuable resource in the process. I think it's no mistake that after Pioli left and Caserio took over, they've improved.
Okay. So that's what, you know, I'm just wondering, do you think it's any factor about getting that early start rather than having to play through January? And
it might. It might, but I'd rather they have less time to prepare for the draft.
It's a good problem to have.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I had one of my best off seasons in terms of draft preparation and predictions last year, and we did have a little bit longer to work on it, Eric, so there might be something to this.
Yeah, there might be.
You know, you were good, too.
And Paul was, well, you know, Paul was
Paul
here.
Was Paul. He had a great spring of sporkling.
That's true. Fred, just remember, without going to the draft, I deemed that Dez Bryant might not be a bad pick, even though he didn't talk to anybody in a nice way.
Right.
I think you need to be at the combine to make that pick.
I'll let you know in 5 years whether he was a good pick or not.
Okay. So we don't have to wait 5 years to tell you Rob Gronkowski was a good pick, but we'll have to wait 5 years to tell you that Dez Bryant was.
We do, because if Rob Gronkowski hurts his back next year and never plays again, he might not have been a good pick. Just like if Dez Bryant goes to a crack house on the way home and does something stupid, he's not a good pick.
How can you argue with that? Seriously.
I wasn't listening.
That's not surprising.
Keith writes in, question one. What group of receivers would you rather see in the Patriots versus the Jets playoff game? If the Jets corners get physical against the Patriots receivers like Green Bay did and disrupt the timing, option one, there's two options. Welker, Branch, Tate, and Edelman, or Welker, Branch, Tate, and Price?
I don't want to see Edelman or Price on the field.
Wow. Definitive statement.
To me, it's Welker, Branch, Hernandez, Gronkowski, Woodhead. That's my passing game.
Yep. I have to agree with Paul.
But I think he was just talking about
specifically
receivers.
Three wides or
I'm not
four
feeling
wides.
All that confident if Edelman or Price is in any kind of a prominent role.
I mean, Edelman had a good bounce back game against Miami. We'll see if he can continue that streak. But I think Paul's right. You got to go with the guys that brought you here, and it's
G-Force
and those other ones, the two tight ends.
I mean, what do you think?
I wasn't really listening.
By the way,
I missed the option.
Was this after your crack house line?
I think it went online since our last show, but the whole Gronkowski World website.
Gronk Nation. Is tremendous.
It's hilarious.
Everyone to go
I asked them how the Gronk Nation
t-shirts
were selling.
Did you talk to them today?
Yeah, they're off limits. They're not talking. He goes, oh, you're not recording this. I can't talk.
But did you? Were you trying to ask him about that?
Yes.
Everyone go to the website. I believe it's GronkNation.com. And turn your speakers on before you get there so you can hear the intro rap.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
What do you think about that?
I don't love it.
Yeah.
Oh, way too early.
Way too early, especially because he's the cream of that brotherly crop.
Right.
He's gonna have the best chance to have a long-term career. Those other two could be out of the league in a year
or two. As is shown by, I believe, the splash page is him out in front with the others two kind of offset to the sides. And he's got, like, a football that's on fire in his hands. And
I'm sure Bill loves it.
You could order. There's all these T-shirts about, you know, get Gronk or go Gronk yourself, all this stuff, pictures of him on them, autographed memorabilia.
He's a little insane.
I don't like it.
Why?
I don't like it.
Uh-oh, he's crossed from quirky and fun-loving to...
No, I'm going to give Fred a little credit here, though, on this
Ocho Cinco
thing.
Land?
Yeah, because he's consistent.
I don't like it.
He's being consistent.
Because it's affected him, clearly.
I think it's funny. And I think he's just having fun with it. I don't think that really matters.
It'd be funny in April.
He's not doing it either.
Or May.
And it's other guys.
If they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Other guys are putting it together.
He had a big game or something.
How about the fact that GronkNation.com staff has requested credentials for the game this weekend?
We've received word, by the way.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And I go, wait, there's a they? There's like a
staff?
Who is this?
Well, maybe we could take one of the 12 from the Globe away and give it to them.
We're going to have to probably frown upon those kinds of comments, too.
Yes.
Actually, we won't.
He pulled a little Lee Corso right there. I got some hand signals.
Question two: if Belichick starts Taylor Price, who do you think he sits?
He won't start Taylor Price.
He won't start Taylor Price.
Brandon Merriweather.
Wait, you're asking.
I think if
Taylor Price is active,
Who sits?
Brandon Merriweather.
Well, it's not going to be Edelman because he's your number one punt returner.
Right, you got to have.
And it's not going to be Matthew Slater because he's a core special teamer that everybody loves.
Right.
With a nice bubble.
Brandon Tate's your kickoff returner. Right?
What?
Brandon Tate is your kickoff returner.
You got to have him out.
Primary kickoff returner.
Well, it doesn't have to be. It could be an offensive
Fred
lineman.
Fred Taylor?
Could be.
Well, they only have 7 linemen active, right?
Offensive?
Oh, maybe they have 8 now. What have they been doing?
They have 5. Then
Hornberger. Lavore's been active, right?
Yes, he has.
When all active. These guys
and
have been hurt.
And Ojanaka.
So I think they have 8. So maybe one of those guys. Maybe Lavore.
Yeah. Question three, how much playing time do you think Fred Taylor has Sunday, and do you think he'll be a factor in the power running game along with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis?
I don't have a whole lot of faith.
Ideally,
that
he's not a big factor, I'll say.
Why do I have a feeling he's still going to play a role this?
Oh, he might play a role, but I don't think he's going to have a
I don't think a 100-yard game, but...
No, but I think if the game plan plays out like they'd like it to, I'm not sure he'll have a huge role.
Yeah, okay. I think that they'll be throwing a lot more.
They'll
than
be throwing
running.
In the minimal reps of... traditional running will go.
However, if they go up 17, 20, then you want to start running the ball, get the clock to
He could come in late, but I think when they run the ball in this game, if the game is competitive, their running will come out of spread formations. Like last time when Woodhead, popped up a few big runs in.
So if you're the Jets, first quarter, second drive maybe. All of a sudden Fred Taylor, first down, lines up in the backfield. What are you thinking?
Tackle him.
Okay.
If I'm Rex Ryan, I'm doing backflips because I'm like, they're going to run the ball? Great.
No, but then he slips out, and it's a pass to Fred Taylor.
Then I'm doing double backflips.
Interception for a touchdown for Cromartie.
He can't catch the football.
He doesn't have the best
about?
Track record catching the football out of the back.
I love
He's
Fred
like
Taylor.
Julian Edelman set passes to the secondary.
I love Fred Taylor, but that's not the strength of his game.
And Keith's final question, do you start Vince Wilfork at nose, or do you line him up at defensive end with Kyle Love at nose and force the Jets to run away from Vince Wilfork?
I would start him at right defensive end.
Now, remember,
I think that's what's going
to
happen.
In that first game, they moved Wilfork to end in the second half, and the Jets just ran right over the – the Jets just ran right over the Patriots. What was going on is, they said they were a lot of sub-packages. That's why they had all that success. What happened the second time around that changed that?
Well, they ran the ball well. They just got blown out.
Yeah.
They ran the ball for like 150 yards in the second game.
And it was one of Tomlinson's
only good
games.
Yeah, but didn't we not
games.
Even care? I mean,
yeah. But the game got you didn't care about it because the game wasn't
competitive. You're scoring. It's the thing we always talk about. When Brady's putting up the touchdowns, it changes the whole game.
I think that one of the things the Jets will try to do in this game is do what they did to Indy. More what Indy did to the Jets, and that is make them put their sub-personnel on the field and then run the ball. I think the Jets can have some success with LT and Green in those kinds of situations and move the chains that way. But you have to have, you know, Cotchery on the field with Edwards and Santonio Holmes to dictate personnel. And if they don't want to, if they want to stay base with that personnel on the field, then Sanchez has to make plays. You know, like the situation with Braylon Edwards at the end of the game when he had the safety one-on-one, that he had Jacob Lacey, I believe, one-on-one. They got to win that. If they get one-on-one Kyle Arrington, Braylon Edwards, the Jets have to win that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on Sanchez because they had plenty of opportunities to win those in the first half of that Monday night game, and Sanchez didn't win many of them.
Jim in New York City says, as to your earlier discussion regarding whether the Jets would pack it in should they get down a couple scores, I think there's no question they would.
Yeah,
One of the best images of the season was that of the Jets players meekly looking up at the clock during the final 8 minutes of the game in Foxborough, clearly wishing it would tick faster. I don't think they've forgotten this feeling of ineptitude. Now, I would love it for you fellas to discuss this concept of Brady pointing at opponents when he scores a touchdown, the antics Rex raised on Monday. Never really stuck out to me before, but now that it has been brought up, I believe for the first time I ever saw him do it was in that Pittsburgh game back in 03 or 04 to that cornerback or safety, I don't recall who it was, who had been talking smack during the week.
It was Anthony Smith.
That's from Jim in New York City.
In 07.
I think
Brady does a lot of that. I don't care. I think it's fine.
I think Brady is very much like Larry Bird in that he trash talks with the best of them. He just
does
it
on the field.
On the field.
The Patriots on the field are a very mouthy team.
Sure.
And when you win for the better part of a decade, that's part of what comes with the territory.
I think it also comes with the territory that they're not allowed to say that kind of stuff during the week.
Right. It's all built up until Sunday.
Right.
And I don't think Bill has one problem with it. I put the muzzle on you guys until you go out in the field and execute.
Right.
And when you do
start doing it,
if you want to let it out,
are off.
You let it out.
Exactly.
And I think that's what Bill does. You know, remember when we used to talk about Deion Branch with the salutes to the crowd and all
the
that
humping
stuff.
Humping the air.
And every time, you know.
What?
You
have sex with the air. You know, remember the hip gyrations? One of his dances
is
like pornographic. Yeah,
Indianapolis.
There was one that he took to extremes.
Yeah. He fell on his back and was like,
and he started having sex.
Like when they couldn't show Elvis's hips on TV.
And I think that is something like.
I heard about that.
When you
Matt.
Get muzzled for the whole week,
Brooklyn Matt.
Oh,
that happened a long time ago, and I knew about it. Screw yourself.
But I think Brady is every bit
yourself.
A part of that.
Oh your yeah, fake girlfriend.
We've seen him. How many times have you seen Brady jaw jacking with somebody?
Oh sure.
That's trash talk. That's what he does.
And you know, Larry Bird was never a guy who would talk in the press, but on the court, the guy said he was a
notorious
trash talker. You know,
I got no problem.
And he would talk to the other team's bench. He would point to the bench and talk to the other team's bench.
I actually kind of like it.
Notorious
B-I-R-D. I don't like the antics as much on routine plays. You know, like the 2 yard game where the guys get up and celebrate.
Right.
But when you do something that deserves celebration, I have no problem with that. I like it. I think it's entertaining.
The problem is too many guys celebrate over things that shouldn't be celebrated too early in the game.
But, you know,
you make a tackle
for
a 1 yard loss,
and they're
looking at the
too
crowd.
Too much.
Like,
like the 11-yard gain for a first down. You have a big hit, and you get up and celebrate.
Right.
A lot of players
those
on
are the
this
ones
team.
That
some
really
players
drive
on this team
crazy.
Do that.
Yeah.
Pro bowlers? Multi-time
Pro bowlers.
Alleged
Pro bowlers.
Jim in Detroit, hey guys, and Eric, is it just me or has Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, done a great job keeping the team quiet among the constant verbal assault from Fat Ryan in the JETS suck, suck, suck? If I were responding to it, there might be a few Fred F-bombs and some Eric, you losers, to spare. Well, that's what we were just talking about.
What would you respond to, though? Like, I'm trying to put myself in the player's position. I don't think they've said anything that would get me angry or get me all, I got to say something, like...
Yeah. The only one possible would have been Brady for the whole he doesn't study as much film.
Right.
He thinks
maybe
he does.
Brady could say
he thinks he does, but he doesn't.
Maybe Brady could say something.
Yeah.
If he's around.
I think the chant in Gillette this week should be F-E-E-T, feet, feet, feet. I want to get that going. So if anyone out there
is
listening
physically,
he's a
Fred,
product of like the chat rooms and the internet.
If they win,
F-E-E-T, feet, feet, feet.
Why don't you get a pith hat and go out in the crowd and lead the crowd with your pith hat?
Pith.
Are you going to use that as a cover word?
What's
hat?
That? Eric,
New England wins, you're going to put Patriots defeat Jets?
No, that's everyone's going to use that.
We go for things.
We'll just use it on the radio.
I'm not so sure that everybody's
going to
use
it. Well, the Post used it, Agony of Defeat.
Yeah, no one would use it here.
Yeah, I don't think people would use it here, though.
Not even the Herald, I don't think. Maybe, but
I don't think
so.
They will.
Mary Beth says, guys, you better put the snow talk away. You better all be there tomorrow. A couple weeks ago, I had 12 inches of snow every day for a week. I'm in upstate New York, toughen up.
Yeah, don't count
Isn't
on
that
it.
The rappers. They've already album, 12 inches of snow.
Remember, they've already
bet you had 12 inches of snow every day.
Conference calls are probably going to be the order of the day tomorrow,
just to make it easier for the media.
But right. Yes,
we'll all be here.
Are they talking about that?
We'll be here.
Are they talking about contingency plans?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. It's in the updated email.
Conference calls.
Oh really?
They're expecting the most snow in Foxborough. Like this is the epicenter of the storm. Like,
right. So
huge amounts.
Yeah.
Paul's bowing out now.
No, I'm looking at Fred. I'm like,
it'll be done by 9 o'clock. We'll be here by noon.
No, I heard three
contingency plans due to pending weather advisory. Tonight's pending snowstorm, which according to some reports will deliver the most snowfall in the Foxborough area, has the potential of altering our media schedule tomorrow. I just find that particular part of it completely absurd. They're predicting the most in this one
city. Right there. Actually, the media workroom at Gillette Stadium is the true
I won't have updates until the morning. In the worst-case scenario, for any media who choose not to venture out on the roadways tomorrow, we will explore the option of setting up a few conference calls that would allow media to dial in. While the Wednesday schedule is listed below, it is even more tentative than usual.
Which means it could change usually.
An update as early as I can on Wednesday. So they have not actually set up conference calls.
No. But
they've
put the word out there for it.
My guess is they won't be having them.
Oh, I think they will.
I think it's nice that they're going to have conference calls that you can dial into. It'd be weird if you had a conference call you couldn't dial into.
That you could see?
And the tentative schedule might change.
Yes, that's
true. It's even more tentative than usual. But that's
Fred,
that's,
do I have to come to your
nice
house
thought.
And shovel your driveway in the morning before I come to work?
No, trust me, I'll take care of it myself. You can't get out of your own driveway.
So you're lucky you don't get scoffed for saying things like that. I was just trying to say that I needed to get my driveway cleared before I left. But
I get a big one, too.
Oh! That's not what she said.
508-543-7482. Brad from the Eastern Shore has been hanging on. Thanks, Brad.
Hey, Fred, guess what?
What?
I am emotionally prepared to win this game.
Okay. Well, so am I.
Fred's emotionally prepared to lose it. He admitted to it earlier.
I heard that, guys. I don't think it was Andy that said, hey, there was a momentary lapse there, Fred.
Yeah.
He had to think about it, Andy.
Yes, he did. That should be troubling to you as the leader of your Homer Nation.
You
know what? I'm not, though, because I told my son Saturday night, he said, who are we rooting for in this game? I said, believe it or not, Justin, we're rooting for the Jets. And he looked at me with this incredulous look on his face. We never root for the Jets. And I said, well, we are tonight. So,
yeah, I agree.
Careful what you wish for.
I will take my chances with Sanchez versus Peyton Manning, who is a franchise.
That's true.
So, and your comments much earlier in the show about Cromartie and Rivas taking out Branch and Welker, they pretty much did that in the last game. Who killed them in that last game? Danny Woodhead.
To some extent, they did, but
because nobody could match up in the linebacker or safety core with Woodhead, and as soon as they started keying on Woodhead, Gronk and Hernandez are going to be wide open. I think that you guys are dead on. We don't need. I mean, not that I'm saying I don't like Tate or Edelman. I really think it's going to be Branch, Welker, Gronk, Hernandez, and Woodhead.
Well, aside from Woodhead, I believe Welker and Branch were the leading receivers for New England in that game.
Branch had like three catches, 60 yards.
But
I know he had a touchdown.
Yardage.
Yeah. Hernandez had
kind of what he does.
3 for 51.
Yeah,
and
but
a touchdown.
I think they'll take that. It's the other guy. They can't. I think Brad's right. You can't allow Woodhead to have over 100 yards.
And
combined offense.
And I think Brady now, over what, 14 games, 13 games. Has confidence that Woodhead will be in the spot that Woodhead needs to be in.
Yep.
Oh, and I think he has.
That he's
going to
catch the ball. He's going to get those extra three or four yards, just like Welker. I really think that they neither have linebackers nor safeties that will effectively match up with those other three receivers. They may take out Branch and Welker. Welker may only have 2 or 3 catches for 21 yards. But if they're doing that, that means Rivas is on Welker. They're going to be running somebody else on that side of the field all night long.
Well, I mean, that's basically what we've talked about all year with this offense. Brady scans the field horizontally as well as anyone, and now that he has legitimately 4 or 5 options, very few teams match up with numbers 4 and 5 very well. He gets to those reads.
And even though I agree with your larger point, Brad, about Branch and Welker last game, I think Welker still had like 8 for 80. And that's not – I
thought they were both reasonably productive when Revis wasn't anywhere near him.
Both of those guys were – now, if you're talking about shutting down, so that means both of those guys have fewer than, say, 4 catches – and they don't score touchdowns. That's, to me, like shutting down. Like Reggie Wayne. They took Reggie Wayne out of the game.
But we talked about
that. If
that
happens,
game,
I think they could be in trouble.
But after the game, if you guys remember, we all talked about that Revis didn't stay on one guy the whole game.
Right.
They bounced him around.
Right.
And all
he didn't
Brady
cover
did,
anybody in that game.
Exactly. All Brady did was, okay, Revis is on Branch, I'm throwing to Welker. Okay,
right.
Now Revis is on Welker, I'm throwing to Branch.
Right.
Or they're double-teaming both, so I'm going to throw it to Woodhead, and he's going to run for 65 yards.
Exactly, right. But if they completely shut down Welker and Branch, then I think that's a different game. They didn't completely shut down Welker and Branch
last game. Because if they completely shut him down, it means the guy not named Revis is doing a good job too,
exactly.
Whoever it is, whether it's a safety or whether it's Cromartie, whether it's Lowry, whoever. So if you shut them both down, it means the Jets are playing well on defense, is basically what it means.
But I don't think Brady cares. I think that's the point that Brady's at in his career. He doesn't care if Welker only gets 2 catches in this game. It's the whole point of why Moss had to leave, because Moss was saying, I'm only getting 1 touch or 2 touches, Brady. Get me the blank ball. I think Brady's now saying, if they're double-teaming Gronkowski, I'm not going to throw it to Gronkowski.
Right.
I'm going to throw it to somebody else. I think law firm has definitely earned the right for the carries in this game. I think if Taylor's coming in there in some power package, I think that's just a mistake.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see that unless, like Eric said, maybe if they're running the clock out and then they're just going.
They got a 17-point lead going through the fourth quarter and they're going to run the ball every play.
Right, but I meant in a power set. I don't see Taylor coming in.
You won't.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I got one final comment. I agree, guys. We need to see Fred in pumps on the field doing his chant.
Yeah. Fans have spoken, Fred. They want you.
In pumps?
In pumps. Yep.
What does that mean?
Why do you want to see him in high heels?
Yes.
Oh, definitely. No.
Why?
Just a nice little soft. Just a nice little.
To get Rex all excited?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes, you want to show the form of the foot so that Rex is distracted and calls a timeout or calls a challenge.
I'll just come out in flip-flops then.
Would be funny if the cheerleaders all came out with no shoes on.
Can you imagine if there was a...
I like that idea.
I think that, you know, they might get frostbite. But...
Right, well, that's okay. They have insurance.
How about like clear...
Do it for morale.
Clear shoes or something?
I like it. That's not a bad idea.
Good idea, Andy.
What if all the Patriots came out on the field with clear spikes instead, you know, like Oregon's yellow ones last night? How about if they all came out with clear ones and they had no socks on?
Yeah, there you go.
How huge would it be if Ryan actually made a really controversially bad coaching decision that cost them the game?
Oh, that would be
great. Like, you remember the timeout in Baltimore when he was defensive coordinator?
He makes fun of himself about that.
Right. Now, I mean, obviously, hindsight, they stopped him and all that stuff, but something like maybe he throws a really bad challenge flag, which he is wont to do.
That's wont with an O.
You know, something like that where, you know, something that is obvious, not like, wow, what a bad game plan Rex Ryan put together. You don't really know.
Right.
I'm saying there's a play in the game, a key play, like in the middle of the fourth quarter where he just poops himself.
Fourth and two in his own end with a lead
and he goes for it and it doesn't get it. And all of a sudden they lost the game because 100%. If they didn't do that, they would have won.
You might get fired.
That would be huge.
Oh, I'd love it.
That'd be huge.
What would I be like?
Annoying, as always.
Jeez, you're just your everyday humble self, Fred.
Jordan writes in, hi, men of PFW and Eric. Don't know if you guys have talked about it yet, but in the ongoing debate between who's better, Brady or Manning, Manning is now 9-10 in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Does this finally swing the majority to Brady?
I don't know. It does right now, but until next year when I see Manning cutting
people off, I think
Manning's just better.
Last couple years, it swung toward Manning. So,
right.
I mean, you know, these guys have had long
careers.
It's why
it's the great debate that has no answer.
Yeah. I mean, Brady's had the far better year, no doubt.
So,
I'll take Brady. I'm sure a lot of guys would take Manning. I'd take Manning, too. I have no problem with Manning. Listen, they both
have two quarterbacks?
They've both won a lot of football games. I have no problem.
I'd take Manning, but he'd have to run my system.
And what exactly is your system?
Whatever it happens to be.
Whatever it happens.
How did he almost, like, you know, herniate a disc while he was saying he had to run his system?
Andrew, in Ukraine, I don't know if you guys talked about this yet, but with the win last week, The Jets just spent a second-round pick to rent Cromartie for the year.
Yes.
How excited will Rex Ryan this offseason be waiting for the other shoe to drop? I don't know what that means, but... So,
I think it's a foot joke that wasn't all that funny.
Yeah. Listen, I know that Cromartie has been a little inconsistent. It's a major upgrade over what they had last year.
It's
a major upgrade.
You beat the Patriots in week two. Maybe you're not in the playoffs if you don't win that game. You could argue Cromartie was the key to that win.
But I'm just saying
they beat them last year, too, didn't they?
No, but I'm just saying for this season, you made the playoffs as a wild card, and I think you could say one of the reasons you won was Antonio Cromartie's performance in week two.
What's the deal with
you
this?
You made a playoff.
It's a second-round pick now.
From a third. It was either a third or a second. It's a one-round difference.
I mean, I certainly would.
You take a playoff appearance for a third to a second?
And I certainly, for a player that gave me the performance that Cromartie gave me this year,
it's probably worth a second.
I would give a second-round pick. You'd be doing well if you got that kind of production.
James from Roanoke says, I heard you talking about what the Patriots' passing game must do and how the Jets might counter. I think the Patriots should run the ball early and often and not let the Jets set the tone of the game by making the Patriots one-dimensional. Sure, Brady could still win a game just passing the ball, but if you pound the ball against the Jets to soften them up, then the passing game will be more effective and you can get some big plays later in the game. And does anyone else think the Patriots have held out or used sparingly Fred Taylor and Sammy Morris in order to have them fresh for the playoffs?
No.
I don't think they consciously did that, but I think that's
certainly not Sammy Morris.
That's a benefit to have that.
Yeah,
but I don't think that was the game plan.
The Patriots could run the ball effectively in this game, but out of five wides, and then you have a guy you motion Woodhead back in the backfield or whatever, and you run some inside handoffs and stuff. I think if you spread the Jets out and then run the way the Colts did, I think you'll have some success. If you want to line up, two tight ends and power football, and the Jets have eight in the box, I don't think you're going to have a lot of success running the ball.
Trey from Dallas says, I think for the Patriots to beat the Jets this game, they must match the intensity the Jets will have. I don't think they'll be expecting the Patriots to do so. If the Patriots can do that, I think it will catch the Jets off guard, and the Patriots will win by 10 at least.
So the Jets coming in thinking the Patriots are just going to lie down and not be intense?
Well, you know.
The Patriots won't match. The Jets think the Patriots won't match their intensity.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I think both teams are going to be pretty intense.
Yeah, I don't think you're
going to get. Speaking about intense, I really think that Baltimore and Pittsburgh, those first 15 minutes are going to be unbelievable.
Why? Yeah, you wrote that in your edit letter, too.
Well, I think as, it's that initial storm. And then I think things kind of level off a little bit and teams get into their rhythm. But I think with those two teams, I've watched them before, and it's bloodbaths. And, it's hard to keep that. I pick Baltimore, yeah. It's hard to keep that type of passion throughout the whole game.
Four quarters.
But, they come out, and they're like wild dogs.
It's going to be one of the one of the more physical games that you'll watch. But it's hard to go against Roethlisberger. He's won seven in a row.
Oh, no, it's
series.
Not, Paul. It's pretty easy.
Ken Walter writes in.
Kenny!
I tried to sign up for John Dennis's Twitter account, but he's demanding to see my 1040. Unfortunately, most of my income lately has come from signing pics of Adam Vinatieri in Super Bowl 36 and adding an arrow in a note saying, I was standing over there.
I love Walter!
He continues to be the best character ever.
How do you know? It could be Ken Walter. He might have a good sense of humor. Who knows?
I love Walter.
Dave from the Philippines, have you heard about the bet between Coach Belichick and Coach Ryan? Supposedly, if the Pats win, Coach BB will wear his three rings for the coaches meeting midfield after the game, and Ryan will kiss them. On the other hand, if God forbid the Jets win, Coach BB will take off his shoes at midfield, and Coach Ryan will kiss his feet.
Oh.
It is what it is.
We knew that was coming.
Let's hope it's not that.
What you making signs?
I was just talking to Eric.
Okay.
It's cute you guys have hand signals.
Hey, guess who just emailed?
I got one for you too.
Special playbook hand signals.
What was that signal?
Yeah, I think I was showing
the
in his IQ.
He's just pointing at him.
It's not very nice.
Hey, it's not very spiritual.
Remember
either.
Craig from North Carolina?
It's not very
Yes.
He's now from South Carolina.
Oh.
And he's writing in.
Didn't he start out
I thought
in
he
South
was
Carolina,
in South Carolina the whole
Carolina.
Time.
He's back in South Carolina?
No, I think he was always in South Carolina.
So he's a cock again?
Well, I mean his
Pauly's Island, right?
His signing off says, Craig from South Carolina.
Andy, you're full of Craig.
Paulie's Island,
South
Carolina.
Oh, wait, let me read this. Guy. He says, Craig from South Carolina, then North Carolina, now Philly.
Oh.
So he's in Philadelphia. He's getting closer.
Really? Is he coming to the game, or is
I
he actually moving here?
I can't picture Craig in Philly.
In Philadelphia?
I can't really either.
Hey, have
asking,
you seen that bell
for a
yet?
Cheesesteak? It's not all it's cracked up to be.
Anyway, he writes in, the only Jet that wants to beat the Pats more than Rex Ryan is LT. You know, based on his past rantings, that he absolutely hates the Patriots. We've knocked him out of the playoffs before. In the last game, he tried to motivate his team prior to the game by repeatedly yelling, "We're physical, they're finesse." We then proceeded to finesse the hell out of them to a tune of 45-3. We will see Belichick use former Jets in key plays, as he always has. Woodhead has been great, but I look for a great game from the law firm because the Jets are going to be keying on Woodhead and Welker. If the Jets play that zone of theirs, Brady will pick them apart with crossing routes and passes up the middle. Despite our depth at defensive end, I think Bill will implement a defensive scheme to focus on shutting down their run game. What is the Pats' record under Belichick coming off a bye? We don't know. It's pretty good.
He's hardly ever lost, right?
Yeah. Speaking of bye, Jets exit the playoffs losing to a team playing way ahead of schedule. Patriots win 38-17. So, Craig from Philly.
Those numbers, regardless of the situation, those numbers are all the same.
What? I wasn't listening.
They're outstanding.
Right.
What, you know, Belichick not era? Coming off a bye, coming off a bye. Second time you play a team, third time you play a team. The Patriots have won like 80% of their games under
right.
Belichick.
Not right. good in red all red of hoodies. Their, all the of red their hoodie numbers, number is not yeah. impressive.
All of their numbers
three and five,
are impressive.
I think.
Right.
It you'd have to search far and wide for the stuff. Scenario that the Patriots don't have a great record.
That's
in.
Right.
I just told you, red hoodie.
All right, well, that's going to be red it for this hoodie. Edition of PFW Progress. It was a fast 2 hours.
It was a fast
John
2 hours.
John Rook standing by.
In his mom's basement.
He's here.
So John
yes,
Rook with playbook.
Okay,
he's not here. Fred. He's on the line. He's not here.
No.
I'm looking around. He's not in this room.
What do you got coming up, John?
Well, we're going to continue the good foot fetish jokes that you guys have started.
Okay.
Well, if they're good, it'll be a great change
first.
From this show.
John.
We've yet to have a good one.
As the voice of the Patriots.
Yes.
But not necessarily the voice of reason.
I would expect you to start the chant F-E-E-T, feet, feet, feet.
That's a good one. I like that.
All right. Whenever someone says that's a good one, it's not a good one. He'd be laughing hard if it was a good one. It's not a good one.
I think it would be funny.
It would be funny. It would definitely be funny.
You think Fireman Ed will be here?
Now, what do you think of my idea, John, of just having the cheerleaders come out all with no shoes on? And do all
I think that's outstanding.
I think it'd be better if they.
I like that.
Oh. That's outstanding.
Well, but he's not infatuated with breasts like me. That would distract me if they had no tops on. Rex Ryan would ignore it.
Can we play the opening credits to Barefoot in the Park?
What's that?
It's a movie.
I know, you idiot.
I don't think I can just forget that.
Huh?
That's an old school reference.
There was a remake with Amanda Peet, a newer version, so you might be able to actually get it.
Barefoot in the Park.
Yeah, it's an oldie.
Yeah,
we already talked about that.
I heard some clip from...
You don't remember anything?
I heard some clip from, like, Pulp Fiction with Samuel L. being like, you can't just rub another woman's feet or another man's wife's feet or
there
something
There you go,
like
I like it.
That was pretty
play
good.
That up on your little scream screen.
Already tried. I think it's going to get shot down.
Don't try. Just do
just
it.
Do
Fred,
it.
Fred always says, ideas. Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Let me tell you something.
John, do you mind if I take a 30 seconds?
We win the last
story?
Year, Fred.
Not at all.
In the Super Bowl, okay, you're not supposed to bring anything down to the field, printed materials.
Okay.
But we printed up some PFW covers in the event that they would win. This is back in 2004.
You may have seen it. It's called and Dynasty. It's been on
Dynasty
everything
on
that's
it.
Ever been done about
you
that
know,
team.
And now gets a lot of play on ESPN.
Not to be opened unless they won. Thank God they won. So it got a lot of play on TV. Now, the Crafts were mad about it. And I say mad with the air quotes because
okay.
they weren't really mad. But they had to pretend they were mad because you're not supposed to do that.
That was the political
the point.
So you're saying
just do it.
If I were to play this Pulp Fiction quote, they would be mad?
They would be, quote, mad.
No, I think you'll be out of work.
No, you wouldn't.
But I'll be laughing.
No, you wouldn't.
Don't listen to him because
yeah.
he told me
yeah,
I could punch
that
kid
punch
in football
that
ops, and now he has no recollection of it.
He'd be like, I have no.
He will cut you free so quick.
I have audio now.
Yeah, but he'll deny it.
You'd be like
it was an imposter.
You'd be like Dawson and Downey.
An impersonator.
They cut you loose so fast, your head would spin.
All right, well, that's going to do it. John, have a good show, and for us, we'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.